Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Again, not 100% sure what number episode this is.
We never know anymore.
It's kind of, is that nice or bad?
Yeah, it's kind of nice. But then it kind of is like, what number are we on?
I hear you. But either way, we're here. You found us. Thank you for being here. We appreciate the support. We're going to cut right into the business. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery. That is elitearchery.com, and you can use code WCB to save yourself some money. And normally we talk about the main flagship bow. This week we are talking about the Elite Terrain,
which
we gave one away at the Working Class Bowhunter shoot. But we are talking about a affordable bow starting MSRP at $699, 7-inch brace height, 32.5 axle to axle, 3.9 pounds. And we're talking 45 to 60 and 55 to 70 pound peak weight options, 325 feet per second, and some good color options. That's a pretty good deal for a newer flagship bow.
The smoking deal.
Very affordable.
Even more for user code.
If what? Say that again, Doug?
User code. A little more, right?
Yeah, and have it sent to a local dealer. Support Elite. Support us. Support your local dealer.
That's
shout out to Big Time. Code WCB. Also, Big Time, BigTime.com. You can go to Big Time, and they have feed and mineral attractants for those of you that live in feed, mineral, and attractant allowable states. Illinois is not one of them.
Nope.
Iowa is. Is Wisconsin? Bucky's in here.
Oh, hell yeah.
God.
It's like per county, though, ain't it?
No. Well, they shut it off by CWD.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's like a real concern in Wisconsin.
For mineral, yeah. Food plots are good to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But I got my seed at the shoot. Thanks to Big Time for donating some of this stuff. All my stuff back to Wisconsin.
Good call. Big Time main event. New seed from Big Time. That's a hot item right now. Fall, winter, annual mix of high-producing forage brassica with the late-season attraction of tubers.
What are tubers?
I don't know. Fucking buy it and plant it and kill one over tubers.
Yeah.
What are we, scientists? I don't know.
Yeah.
We are scientists. Yeah.
Midwest scientist.
That's right.
Joe Umphreys, if you don't like it, Joe Umphreys will come out and hand pick all of it out of your mini plot.
Well, look, it says excellent kill plot, so you know you're going to kill over it.
Dude, if it says it. And if you use code WCB2022 to save yourself some coin and you're still going to complain, the fuck is wrong with you? Get out of here. I'm just kidding. Big Time's the shit, though. Sorry, I thought I'd mix it up a little hard.
You're good.
Would you like me to be like a robot through these ads? Or keep you guessing,
it'd
Doug.
Be nice.
What's your favorite blend from Big Time? Go, Doug.
Buck Brunch.
Yeah, easy cop out. It is good, though.
I just love brunch.
Who doesn't love
brunch? You love Bucks at brunch, don't you?
Yeah.
The podcast is also brought to you by Huntworth, huntworthgear.com. It seems like that's probably the partnership that we get the most questions on. Mm-hmm. Saw some recent ones about what camo they should get in Huntworth. I have Disruption in all my early season and Tarnin in all my late season. And we all kind of have a mixture of the pattern, so we all don't look like we're trying to be like superheroes together when we're hanging out. But we still do. All great gear, all great patterns, even hidden. I don't have much in hidden. I have some gloves in hidden. But if you're more of a hardwoods type camo guy or gal, that's a great option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's up there with the best of them, man. It's hard to say that it don't hold its own to some of the best, air quote, mainstream camo patterns out there. So check out huntworth.com. Use code WCB15. The podcast is also brought to you by Scent Crusher. We know we're still getting messages about Scent Crusher being acquired by Faradyn, but great company. We're proud of what we've done with Scent Crusher since nearing the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, favorite Scent Crusher product, go.
The roller bag.
Roller bag, good choice. Because the size over the gear bag, or
the size, yeah, I can put all my shit right in there.
In the wheels,
yeah. I don't have to carry it.
Yeah,
I'm kind of fat and lazy, you know.
Well, the regular gear bag has backpack straps.
That's true, but still, the wheels are nice.
You're still carrying it. Okay, fair. Okay, very fair. And Old Barn Taxidermy. Old Barn kills it with their whitetail taxidermy. The new G2 forms are money. Mm-hmm. You thought I was going to say fuck, but I didn't.
I thought you were going to say fire.
I should have. Missed opportunity.
Sorry, Old Barn. Say brown.
But they have their own forms underneath the Old Barn family G2 forms. They look incredible. I have a few mounts on the new G2 forms. They're real nice. Look real good.
They're going to be sick of us here in a couple months.
I just got a call from them. They're going to start my deer.
Oh, really? You had to get your 8-pointer down there. The bird watching 8-pointer.
Yeah. I think I'll put some birds on it.
Are you?
Yeah.
You should get a mounted cardinal to put on its main beam.
Maybe.
That'd actually be like pretty
That'd be
cool.
Funnier and shit.
Come on. You got to do it.
I'll get a goldfinch. Go
that's
shoot
a,
one.
That's illegal. What? It's an Iowa State Excuse bird.
Find one that me? Choked on some of your guys' supplemental yeah, yeah. feed that you're putting out there in Iowa. And then
that doesn't happen.
And just freeze dry it. Right on there. That'd actually be kind of neat.
That'd be kind of cool.
It's got to be so hard to mount like a bird like that.
Oh, a tiny little bird.
Maybe it's not. Maybe you just freeze dry the whole thing and it's done. I got to call
Old
Barn.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I'll see if they do it. That'd be cool.
We just made a plug for a company that really backs us, and we completely derailed their plug to talk about freeze drying cardinals. That's why we love what we do.
Because we're idiots.
We're fucking dumb. And that's all I got to say about
Sam
that.
Sam just hangs up on me. Can I put a bird on there?
Can't do it. The podcast is also brought to you by camofire.com.
Oh, what kind of deals we got going on right now?
We have right now reloading new deals in 4.5 hours. There's a jet boil on here for 22% off, some thermocells, 46. Damn, that thermocell's a bark.
That's a deal.
Yeah, that is a deal. Those things are badass, too.
I need one for the camper.
Son of a gun.
I might buy that shit.
Yeah.
Get like 10 of them.
Let's buy them right now.
What is this?
A poncho?
Oh, it's a mini rechargeable mini lantern. Different cooking supplies. Yeah, ponchos, different tents, water filtration systems. It's all like camping survival. So, dude, look at that sleep. That's a bargain on that sleeping mat.
Oh, see, that cot.
You know what's good when we're like getting distracted by the deals? Like, we're trying to like talk about it. I'm like, oh man, actually, that cot's the shit.
Hey, I don't need that, but I can really use it.
That saw would come in handy. Just get the camofires. But dude, bear spray for 40% off.
Some of that.
You better get two of those.
I bought a Glock 20.
All right, that's good.
That's your bear spray.
Click clack. I got 15 of those.
Click clack.
Loaded up. Anyway, what we're trying to get at, there's a deal right there on that tent.
<All right>. Look at them sleeping bags right there. Gee willikers.
That Alps Mountaineering tent's $80. $85. All right, sorry.
Oh, keep going.
I got it. No, I'm getting off.
Keep going.
We're going to get ourselves in trouble.
I need some deals.
We're actually like trying to function. We all got distracted. And Novix tree stands. Hit up novixoutdoors.com. The code is WCB22 to save yourself some jang-a-lang, and that is good for 200 uses. It's got to be nearing the end. So if you're using that code and it's not working, it means that all the uses are used up on it. Made Peoria, Illinois.
Right down the road,
45 minutes from the studio. It's very, very, very local to us and great people. And shout out to them. They gave away a couple stands at the shoot. Pretty cool. All right, let's get on with the episode. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you guys.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bowhunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bowhunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class. Episode 520 something of the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. Channeling my inner Steve. God damn, that's weird to say. We're in New Windsor, Illinois.
That's right.
That's where the all the new Windsors are located here in Illinois.
Not the old Windsors, or the new
ones. The new ones. Home of the biggest little rodeo.
That's right.
Kurt Geyer here.
Eric Common.
Doug Schmidt.
And in studio, the reigning, defending, returning top three podcast of the last year, Mr. Bucky Eilenfeldt.
That's crazy.
Did you think
you brought out your inner Steve on that one?
I tried.
That was pretty good. Promo
he'd be pretty proud.
Yeah.
Top three. How'd that happen?
You were in the top three downloaded episodes of last year.
I'm just from Wisconsin. You know,
that's all you are.
You talk. We talk
5 hours. You know, hey, whatever. Have fun. Drink old fashions.
That's right.
You make a killer old fashioned.
You make a very fantastic.
Chandler's missing out on the old fashioned game.
Oh well. Hey, I tried to teach him, but
he's on his Iowa farm. Congrats to Austin on buying an Iowa farm.
Hey.
Join the dark side.
Yeah. So thanks for coming back, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's fun to come down. I've been down here twice in 1 week.
Done here for the shoot the other day.
That's pretty crazy.
Came down for the shoot the other day.
It feels like we just seen you. Oh, wait, we did.
Yeah. I'll kind of turn around. I'm a little bit off of work right now, so that's all right. I got some time to travel.
You got special legs.
I got magic legs.
Got magic legs. Special sad sounding.
Yeah,
he'll be running very soon.
Oh, I don't know about running, but...
Hey, you're up and moving. That's all that matters.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I got hurt pretty bad in February. So,
well, if someone missed the last episode, I think all of us highly recommend going back.
Absolutely.
We talked about measuring. We talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we also talked about the Rompola buck a little bit, which I kind of just naturally want to bring up again to you, you know?
Why not? I mean,
yeah, just talk.
It's
about
one
it.
Of the greatest deer ever, right?
Right.
You know,
allegedly,
biggest controversy. Well,
allegedly,
it?
But it's a urban legend,
right?
But we're not always going to have that. We're never going to.
That's
have
what it. Makes it so fun.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, well, some of the controversy around it's cool, but
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of, in my opinion. I mean,
are we ever going to know for sure?
I don't think so.
Ever?
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, come on, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, because when was that shot? 80s?
Oh, yeah. I would say late 80s.
Nah, nerd. It didn't happen. It's not real. Crushed it.
I hear that. After the last podcast, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he's like, yeah, that deer's totally unreal. I'm like, why do you think that?
Unreal isn't amazing or not real?
No, it's not real. It's fabricated. I'm like, why is that? Well, the ears are drooping. I'm
like, yeah, but I've shot deer that got drooping it? Ears.
And I was like,
I've shot 120s with drooping ears.
He got in my head a little bit, and I'm like, maybe he's right.
I got a picture of a buck that's better looking than he is, but his ears are drooping. I hate the photos.
Oh, really?
And he's 3 hours old.
Like, yeah, that one's dead. Fabricated.
I just wanted to see if I could fabricate a 120 for a fabricated 250.
Pulled it off.
But
no one ever knows.
You know, it's cool deer to talk about, and it's
great. It is fun. It is a lot of. I'm being a little harsh to be funny, I guess.
No,
but
no, it's good.
Or to stir ruffle feathers a little bit, but.
Well, it's weird because, like, nowadays, in social media and everything, you'll never have something like that again in controversy. You'd be like, well, there's pictures. And
it's fun, man. It's like deer. What we need to make a word. Maybe there already is one, and I'm just not thinking of it. I'll seem real dumb. But, like, you know, like Americana is, like, you know, you think very American, maybe, like, historic type things. Like, there's a term that should be, like, more like an Americana-style vibe for, like, deer hunting. Mm. And that's what that deer kind of is. It's like a... It's nostalgic mystery, deer camp, all kind of blended into one term. Right. There needs to be a term for it. Do you think of it?
I'll think of it on the way home.
You know what I'm talking about, though? Like, yes. There's something there.
And then we'll make it into a t-shirt.
That's right. Yeah. So, fuck all you guys listening if you try to make a t-shirt on whatever word we don't know about yet.
It's penned.
Patent pending.
We got it already. We're just being bashful. It is, you've been up to a lot, man. You've been measuring a ton.
Yeah. Measuring a bunch. Been a little bit all over. I was down at the Dells measuring down there. And
hey, shout out to everybody that was measuring at the Dells. They're so awesome to us.
Cool. Yeah. Well, they recognize you as part of the family.
Well, they all know us because of you.
I mean, isn't that cool, though?
It's cool.
Like-minded people.
It's very cool.
True.
But it's funny because, like, they came up, oh, yeah, Bucky had good things to say about you guys.
There, see?
And it's like...
And we're all like, why?
They have no reason to know anything about us if it wasn't for you, you know?
Here's a ticket for you.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. None of those people would know who we were if it wasn't for you.
But we're all pretty tight-knit. I mean, all over the state, we all go to... We see each other down there. We have a meeting, and And dude, no, really, that's it.
And Boone and Crockett Whiskey sent us a bunch of booze after your podcast.
Yeah, that's what we do. It's called networking.
I mean, they
it's called networking.
They wrote us an email. Hey, we heard you guys were drinking our stuff. We want to send you some bottles. There. It's a bunch of bottles and like antler bottle holders. So shout to Boone and Crockett Whiskey.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good. And, the, you know.
Yeah, it's good.
For Boone and Crockett Whiskey. Great. I mean, the money's going to the conservation.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And it's good.
We're never going to turn down free booze. You know what I'm saying?
Why would you? Yeah.
They're fun bottles to have, too. Like, yeah. There's something about whiskey that kind of like the bottle adds to the fun of the whiskey.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's kind of like, even if the whiskey sucks, if the bottle's cool, you'll still have it.
Yeah. Mm. We carry one around with us when we're out hunting, like, you know, a different state or something. We always have a bottle with us because that's going to be the celebratory, yeah. You know.
The Boone and Crockett whiskey?
Yep.
The kill shot.
Yep. Yeah. We took that along with us down to Arizona. As long as we could hear a bugle, we could have it old fashioned that night.
Mm. Oh, dang!
It's all about the little victories, right?
The little victories. But we did I guess we can. I can talk about it. I announced Austin's farm, which without him, I feel kind of bad about it now.
Hey, way to go,
Austin! And I had a celebratory old elk whiskey, old fashioned. And I mentioned something on a podcast like a month ago, that kind of made me seem like I was up to some shady activity. Remember that? You're like, there's nothing shady about what you're doing.
But, yeah, you're a felon.
I'm a felon for sure. Hand tattoos, cannon guns. That's why I'm working class bow hunter. I'm kidding. I'm not a felon. Trey thought I was a felon, though, kind of for like
a half a second.
For
a little bit.
He's like, hey, man, when you're bear hunting, if you want to use a rifle. And I was like, well, I'm a felon. Like kidding with him. You know, he's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, I'm not a felon, Trey. Come on, man.
He actually believed you for a second.
Yeah. But through mentorship from Austin, I bought my own 40-acre farm. Worked out. And honestly, it's because of Austin.
Congrats. Yeah.
So it's legit. Austin is the only reason why that, like, I had any initiative. I never thought it was a possibility in my lifetime. And he's like, we'll do some episodes about it, like how it's possible. But if you find a unicorn farm, you can do it. Anybody can do it on a much smaller budget than you think you can.
Definitely be cool to do an episode of breaking everything down.
Yeah. And honestly, it wouldn't have been on my radar. I wouldn't even have been looking if it wasn't for Austin.
Right.
And because Austin was looking, sold a farm to buy another farm, he came across this other farm that happened to be like in the vicinity of me. And he's like, hey, rumor has it this farm's coming up for sale. I'd maybe just see if you can do it.
Right.
And then...
Hey, and then you did it.
Turns out I could do it. So I'm like, holy shit, this is possible.
Hell yeah.
So we'll get into the details on that later. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Old Elk. You see they commented on her Instagram
post? That's what I was getting at. So that was our, it said reasons to celebrate. I did a reel of Austin pouring Old Elk, and then they commented on it, which
pretty
is cool.
That's
awesome. Dope.
Pretty damn cool. Shout out to all those good whiskey companies.
Yeah.
Right. Take your whiskey.
Yeah.
We don't have enough here.
We'll gladly receive it.
Yeah.
And drink it.
But sorry, that got a little long-winded, Bucky.
No, it's cool.
Sorry.
But no, it's cool.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
After we saw you in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I got was invited last summer. Boone and Crockett sent me a letter, asked me if I'd be interested in being on the 31st judges panel for Boone and Crockett Awards coming up. It's the awards will be coming up in July. So the panel measure is it's a collection of all the top five of the 29 big animals and big game animals in North America.
Five of each species.
So let's say there was a new category. Let's say it was I can't even think of it.
Jackalope.
It'd be the top.
They're getting big 10. In Texas.
But they're big. Yeah. They're big. I measured one.
Booner?
It was Booner.
Yeah. Love to see it.
So all 10 of those would be invited because anything in the top 10 will be invited. If it's a new species, but it's all the top five are invited to this. So anything in the top five of any of the 29 big game animals. Question, cool.
Can you, I'm just going to raise my hand to ask questions.
I love
funny.
It. Love it.
Can you name off all 29?
Yes.
Top here. Did we make you do this last time?
Yeah, you killed me.
Huh?
Kill me on it. You killed me. You said you want to ask me again.
Oh.
Where's my book?
Dude, it's been... Well, we do so many podcasts.
Which book? You got 40 books around here.
I know.
Here.
I got a small white one.
You want the Doug's Hooked on, Learn to Read Hooked on Phonics?
No, not that one.
Oh.
Why not?
That's the one.
This one?
Give him his book, damn it.
Right in the front.
Bucky, there's going to be a lot of stuff I probably ask you again because we do so many. I don't know how Joe Rogan stays, like, sane.
I don't know how he remembers everything.
He's more intelligent.
Well, yeah, we're idiots.
He's got a
lot. All that alpha brain.
Yeah. 29 big. You want to go all through all of them?
Yeah, list them off.
Okay. Alaska brown bear, black bear, grizzly bear, polar bear, bison, barren ground caribou, central Canada, barren ground caribou, mountain caribou, Quebec, Labrador caribou, woodland caribou. There's a lot of caribou.
Mm-hmm. Labrador?
Labradors. Cougar, not the same one.
Doug?
It's not on there?
We got that one though, right?
Yeah,
good job.
Old tits.
Colombian black-tailed deer.
Sitka
black-tailed deer.
Cam Haines. Yeah,
Cam Haines, a lot of it. He's a killer.
He's probably like one of the top guys for entries in those, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I have a magazine from like the 80s of Pope and Young, and he's on the cover of it.
No shit.
Yeah. I sent him a mess. I took a picture of it. As I know, I saw him one time, and I took a picture of it, and I sent it to him on Instagram, but he just sent me back like a thumbs up or something like that. But it's like from the 80s. Like, super
cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I wonder if he has one.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
And I had it. I don't know why.
Yeah, but it's kind of a dickish move just showing or sending you a thumbs up.
That dude's so busy, though.
He probably thought I was stalking him, too. Who knows?
You were.
I'm sure he meant no ill intention by it.
Right. There's coos deer, cows deer, however you want to pronounce it. Mule deer, whitetail deer, Roosevelt elk, Thule elk, American elk, Rocky Mountain goat, Alaska Yukon moose, Canada moose, Shiras moose, muskox, pronghorn, bighorn sheep, doll sheep, desert bighorn sheep, stone sheep, jaguar, which actually isn't pursued anymore.
Not in the 29?
Well, it's part of it, but it's not a
jaguar.
Yeah, we don't.
Florida jaguar.
Mexico.
Jaguar.
Oh yeah, because that's North American.
Yep. And then there's walrus.
Oh, walrus is an. I almost said walrus before Eric said jackal being a smartass.
Yeah.
Can walrus. You kill walrus right now?
No, only tribals can collect them.
Oh, really? Because of the tusks.
Yeah. So nobody can truly get a slam.
Well. I don't know if those are part of the 29.
That wouldn't make sense for it to be.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You see Tom Miranda trying to axe out a walrus.
I don't think the jaguar or the walrus are part of that.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
By the way, Tom Miranda's DVD of him on that hunt is like one of my favorites of all time.
Are you going to get him on or what's going on?
I'd love to, man. I actually, I haven't even reached out to him, but he is one of my top guys. Like, I don't know. There's like something about maybe like having him not on is kind of makes it cooler.
Yeah.
But I'd love to talk to him. I've met him and he's a great guy. Yeah. I've actually, when I met him, I was just became a Pope and Young measure and I was all gun ho because I knew he was a measure and very involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And talked to him for probably 20 minutes.
That's cool.
Jaguar.
I was 21 at the time. So it's been 11 years or 10 years.
Wow.
So
that's quite the dude. I mean,
dude, he's a monster. He kills some cool shit.
I love his videos of his trophy rooms.
I know. That's like really cool.
Balls.
Do you have the desire to have like a trophy room like that, you think?
No, not really.
Well, how many, let's quiz you on this 29. I mean, like, have you gotten a chance to kill a handful of those? Or if you had to pick five, if you haven't picked five that you'd love to kill?
I only really hunt with my bow, so I don't. I shot a pronghorn. That one's in the book.
With a bow or a rifle?
With a bow. And shot that in northern Montana with my buddy Justin. I shot a black bear in 20. That made the book. And I have a couple whitetails that are in the book. 1, 2, 3, 4 are in the book. I have an elk that's on the wall. Didn't make the book, but shot that with a bow.
Very cool.
Yeah. Bought it.
So you got
some out there. I mean,
yeah, you got some variety.
Yeah, I've been after the elk. I mean, once that bugle got in my head, I just can't get it out.
Right.
Yeah. I just can't get it out.
What's one that you'd love to do that you haven't, or just maybe just seems like a dream? That,
like a bucket list?
There's a couple. I mean, I apply for sheep tags all over.
Do you really?
I keep a spreadsheet for all the states that I put in for. It's I was talking to Rachel the other day and we're like comparing notes. I'm like, why aren't you applying here? She's like, I don't know. We never thought about it. I'm like, you have to apply here.
Hmm.
And I apply all over for bighorns and desert sheep. Waiting here on Arizona if I drew desert. I doubt it, but it's random.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. I apply for moose. apply for elk in several states. I really would like to, I'd like to shoot one moose. I'd like to pursue one moose and get one, maybe.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to go. Like, I have a friend that's in the Yukon, and I'd love to do a one and done with him and be like,
I got one.
Shoot a big one.
Yeah.
Because he would be able to.
Put you on a big one?
Yeah, he'd be able to help me get him.
Right.
Gotta go, man.
I know, but it's like a college tuition for my kids.
Yeah, dude, fuck your kids, man. You know, they can pay for their college. I didn't mean to say, come on.
They're going
to
put me in a home at like 52.
Yeah, yeah.
How are your kids?
As long as you kill a moose, who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah, you got a Yukon moose. Hey,
that's three hot meals a day.
Right.
Not a bad gig, really. Right. How old are your kids now?
Jake is 16, Mia's 14, and Sam's 12.
Oh, dude, you could do that now, and they wouldn't even know about it.
Right. They wouldn't even know I was going. They're like, where's dad? Like, 3 weeks later.
By the way, I'm kidding when I dropped the F-bomb about our kids, but no, come on, that's pretty funny.
They're good kids.
Dude, my kids are paying for college.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they're going to pay for their own college. It was just, I don't know.
I know what you're saying, man. I'm giving you shit.
It's hard to.
I thought it'd be funnier if I sounded way more harsh about their college.
You think about it, like, damn, you know, it's like 20-some grand.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But
maybe they won't go to college. You have 20 grand in your pocket.
Well, that's what I'm kind of rolling the bones on.
Yeah, get them in a trade.
Austin and Ross did like a semi-guided. They killed bulls, you know.
Yeah.
But they were in an area that like there wasn't a 50-inch minimum in the unit they were in, which I guess is like pretty rare.
Yeah.
To like have find an area, yeah. Hmm. Because they were telling certain people about it. Guys that like hunt in Alaska a lot, and they're like, what? And like even they got from, I don't know the details, but when they were pulling their moose off like the semi and shipment, the guy, the CPO was like, whoa, hold on, what's up with these moose? They were like in the 40s or whatever. Mm. And then they had to check what unit they're in. He's like, oh, okay, you guys are good.
That's just crazy though, because I'd be so scared to go in any unit that was 50 inches because I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Every bull you've seen would look 50 inches because they're so big.
Yeah, right. We're used to whitetails.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and to do that, I mean, if you can do a hunt for, let's say, $10,000-$15,000. And you want to do it twice. I mean, you know, you have to kind of make the choice where you want to go. And all depends on your age, too. I wish I would have started hunting out west when I was younger. I mean, I wish I had applied for my, like, my kids. They all have points out west because it's cheap for them to
apply.
Like, some states, $5.
Yeah, that's wild. I wish I would have been doing it sooner than I started when I did. I've cashed some in, you know, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's go back to this, getting invited to be on the panel, the top five from each of the 29 North American big game species.
So there are 16 of us from North America that got invited to it. So we have 8 teams of 2. And then like an example of a muskox. Okay, so we have a team of 2. We go in and take a look at this muskox, and we measure it. And the team of 2, let's say it's Doug and I, We measure it because, well, Doug
knows muskox.
He's got good eyes, you know.
Thank you.
All right.
Muskox kind of look like his mustache.
Kind of.
I just compare him.
There's a boss.
There's a boss.
So that one ain't going to make it.
We look at next. So we measure this muskox together, and we have to agree on every measurement. You know, would you agree here? Would you agree here? We double check the math, and like in a muskox, there's quarter measurements that go up on the horn. So you have to agree on that. You get done with your score sheet. Do you agree on this? We all agree on it. So you take that score sheet and you turn in. A little while later, maybe the same day, most likely the same day, another team will grab it, be assigned to it, and they measure it.
Grab it.
They measure it, and they agree on it, and they come up with a final measurement. And then all four of us get back together, and then we go over through the animal, each measurement.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what was the variance in scores on, like, just pull that muskox, for example?
Like, almost right on.
I mean, everybody knows their shit.
Well, we don't know what the original score is.
Geyer to official measure, and then from there I'm like, hey, this could be a...
Yeah.
Or once I send in the paperwork, they're like, okay.
We don't know what... We don't know, like if you had it at 126 and we have it at 128, you know, we don't know that until we measure it. Then the other team measures it, and then we're like, wait a minute, did you guys come over here? And how did you do this? And a muskox is fairly complicated how I get down way down in between the two
bosses or whatever.
Bosses, yeah. So, and then you come up with the final measurement, and then they look at the original score sheet and then make a determination there. But we have to agree on it, all four of us, before.
Is there any, like, heated discussions involved in any of these?
I didn't see anything, no.
So it's pretty...
I mean, it's
everybody's on their shit. Like, everybody knows what they're doing.
Well, a lot of these guys that are on these panels, you know, they've been going on it for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like being invited to this panel, like, I don't know, like winning the lottery.
World Series.
It's like top honors for measuring.
It's like Super Bowl for me.
Did you about shit yourself? Did they just send you a letter in the mail or did they call you?
Well, he kind of let Slutton call me. He goes, hey, why haven't you responded yet today? I'm like, about what? I was on my way home from work. So... You know, regular working class guy. I'm coming home after 12 and a half hours.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, he goes, why haven't you called me yet today? I'm like, what is going on? Well, have you got your mail yet? I'm like, no, I'm still coming home from work. I just got out of work. And he goes, well, you haven't got your mail. I'm like, nope. He goes, well, call me when you get your mail. I'm like, just tell me what's going on. He goes, I can't. You have to get your mail. So I go home. And of course.
Did you have any idea? Like, were you thinking anything of it?
No, I had no idea what was going on, but it's from Boone and Crockett, a guy from Boone and Crockett, Justin.
Right.
And he knows me. And I go in the house. I'm like, who got the mail today? And of course, my kids are all laying around like, oh, I think it's over there. Maybe it's over there. Maybe dropped
it. I threw it
up the driveway.
The dog ate it.
Finally, I find it and I open it up. And I'm like, you've been invited to be in the 31st judges panel. And I'm like, yes. Like,
just celebrating.
It was the second greatest thing of measuring I've ever had, besides the letter that I got invited to be on Boone and Crockett to be in their class, and I got that on my birthday.
Oh, really?
That letter on my birthday in my driveway that time. And my wife's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I got invited to Boone and Crockett.
That's awesome.
And it was like...
I love that you're so passionate about it.
Oh, yeah, it was so cool. I mean, like, to be invited on the panel, like, I never thought I'd be
able
to get that opportunity.
So you're going to be like... When you open up like the ethic and you see that dude with suits on and the panel measures, you're in that group.
Yeah.
I haven't got an ethic for a while. I don't know if I selected.
That's Pope and Young.
Yeah, that's Pope and
Young. I know, but.
Well, you'll see it. You'll see it in there, I'm sure. Yeah, you will see it in there.
Are they quarterly?
Those are quarterly, yes. Quarterly newsletters.
I think I renewed in March.
Fair Chase is Boone and Crockett, and that comes out quarterly also. I can get you a membership for that today.
I'll sign up.
That's cool. I mean, the newsletter, and nowadays, there's so much stuff that comes in the mail.
Right.
Well, I'm a member of Pope and Young. I should have my ethic already, but I'm trying to remember the last time I got an ethic.
Well, it's probably been a while.
I might have done the digital.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
I like the physical copies, but
hard copy.
I didn't mean to do it if I did, but I haven't got one for a while.
Yeah, I got it. I love it. And Fair Chase magazine, too, from Boone and Crockett's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually has a feel to it. Like, it's a quality product.
Yeah, it's not a cheap magazine.
It's not a shitty magazine.
Right. And full ads. I mean, it's not like that. But, yeah, I'll be in there. I mean, like...
What's the cost to join Boone and Crockett?
$40.
That's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. For a year? I mean...
Yeah.
If you get four magazines, figure it out. I mean, that ain't a lot.
No, not at all. No. I don't know what a magazine costs these days, but... Doesn't seem like a lot.
About $9. Something like that.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have like if you look in the measurer's manual and stuff, and they have like throwback pictures of all these guys in Boone and Crockett aprons and stuff. So they had aprons there for us. And of course, I'm like, yeah, I grab that. I throw it on. I'm like, tie it on. And
did you get to keep it?
Yeah, I did. That's awesome.
I
put it in my measuring bag. I'm like, thanks, guys.
It's going home.
It's going back to the cheese. Me. So
to the cheese.
He got home and that's all he had on. He walked into his wife.
I actually wore it for my birthday for a little bit. It was pretty fun. It was a big party. had a band and stuff. It was cool.
That's awesome.
But
you should have wore that today.
I know it. It was cool to go down there. It was kind of rough get down there. I had to fly down and I was on crutches and stuff. And
yeah.
Like braces and stuff. And it was a little rough, but...
But you still went.
There, yeah. I was going either way.
Yeah, you can't pass that up, right?
I was going either way.
So did you know a lot of guys there when you got there?
I know quite a few, yeah. Well, some of these other guys are pretty veteran. I mean...
Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people from Boone and Crockett with the club and stuff. I volunteer. And
right.
Like, at
right.
a sheep show, I'll work the booth there and stuff.
I'd like to go to that show.
It's super fun.
When is that show? February?
No. It's January, like, 10th.
No, shit. It's right after ATA.
ATA. Yeah.
It is, like, the second week of January.
I'd love to go, but...
It's, like, the 12th or 14th or something like that.
Some year we'll go.
Yeah. I want to go as, like, a vendor. Or not as a vendor, but as, like, a...
Spectator?
Yeah, walk just want to go see it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing. I mean, to see some of the mounts that they have Dewey Studios down there, and they have their you know, that sheep mountain, basically, and you know these sheep that are being taken and you know throughout the world. That
yeah,
the whole world down there.
Is Sheep Show the one you can go with? Like, you can go with some money and throw it on an auction and get a pretty good price hunt.
Ooh, not really. I mean, no, not really. Like, you can get, you can buy a. Auction hunt, but it's not going to be cheap.
No, I thought like if you went with like a few grand,
oh,
you could walk away with some pretty cheap hunts because everyone's worried about sheep.
Yeah, 1%. You got to be in less than one.
Crush my dream.
Going to less than 1%.
Bring your checkbook.
If you join less than one when you're down there, you can go into this. It's a. They have a drawing, okay, and that's pretty popular these days. I mean, to get down there and do that. 30 some bucks, 40 bucks to get in, and then you join the sheep foundation also, so it's another 40 bucks. I would say it's, yeah, it's gonna be less than 100 bucks to get in, and with your name in there, they draw for like 10 or 12 sheep hunts.
Oh, geez,
that's your best chance to win a sheep hunt. North, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, so everybody else gonna be down there next to me like, hey, I guess what I won my first time here. I'm like, I'll be like, shit.
Where is the sheep show?
Reno.
Geez.
And
we should go.
But let's go. It's a, like, for me, I mean, why wouldn't I go? My best chance ever going to sheep hunt.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford one. I mean, they're 60, 70. They sell them in those auctions at night when you, if you go to the dinner and everything. It's a governor's tags and stuff.
Oh, and they do it live?
$180,000.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's.
Google.
I mean, that's.
Dude, can you go and just get drunk and watch the auction?
That's what I do.
Dude, we gotta go. That'd be so fun. Just watch rich dude spend $200,000 right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Without even batting an eye.
I'll have another rye whiskey and I'll have another rye whiskey.
Yes. Yeah. The cheap one this time.
It's pretty amazing.
We should go.
Air Chanel raises hand.
We would actually enjoy the leisure of not working the show.
Oh, yeah. It'd be fun for sure.
They raise millions of dollars per night.
That's crazy. That's pretty incredible.
And like,
does Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young have a lot to do with that too? Do they go in on that? Or
Boone and Crockett was one of the sponsors a couple of years ago, but after that, I don't know if they had where they were last year because I wasn't able to go last year, my mom's health, and I wasn't able to go then. But I missed that show. But that was the first one I missed for a while. Mm. But there's,
I'm sorry, we keep getting off the panel.
No.
There's so many interesting side stuff.
It's cool to talk about that stuff because. In conversation, that's where you're going to learn that stuff.
But yeah.
Not a lot of people probably even know about the sheep show.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I mean, I go down there, and if I can win a sheep hunt, that'd be great. Be a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys, that's what they're doing. Okay. And, well, here's the best part, okay? The one, lesson one is pretty, I love that part of it. It's this Friday night. So at the end of the sheep convention that day, then they have lesson one, so everybody's over there. And, like, one year... We walked in, they give you a Yeti mug for your 75 or let's say it's 100 bucks. You give you a Yeti mug, go in, it's free beer.
Just fill up your mug?
They just get no. You just hang onto that and they just give you free beer. All Blue Moon.
Really?
What we were just talking about?
Yeah. You guys, did you guys hear Bucky's Blue Moon story?
Yeah.
One of my buddies, him and his friend, they invented Blue Moon. And they started selling it at the Rocky Stadium and then they... got more popular, and then they got invited up by Coors. They wanted to talk to him about buying them out. And
that's pretty incredible.
One guy left, and my buddy stayed with him. He still works for him, and he chases moose. Like, he sent me a great, great picture of the sheep.
Let's get him in on a podcast, Bucky. Would he do it?
Oh, yeah, he would. I would say if he's in the area, I mean, he'd probably come out this way.
Are you flying?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, let's do
it. Probably better chance of getting him out of
does he need any like three drunk dudes to go with him and drink beer and go
take
him moose?
I'll just take him hunting sometime. Like, he chases moose all over the place. Like,
really?
Yeah, are moose his thing?
Yeah, that's his
deal. Meese. Well, let's see if he wants like to mentor three drunk dudes. See what make said. It four, throw you in the batch, and let's go.
I'll talk to John.
Tell him we really love Blue Moon. Oh, well. Love his work.
We just had some, yeah.
Great work. His work.
Great work.
Yeah.
I mean, so you mean guys like that, and once I started going out there, I met a bunch of those guys and mm-hmm. be friends with them, and they're from all over the country, you know.
It's cool.
It's awesome. It's just like this, you know.
Yeah.
Like-minded people, and that's mm-hmm. what it is. I mean,
really for sure.
Is. Yeah.
It's like, it's funny the small, like, if someone's like, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so, I'm like, we hunt? Like, that's my first question. If you don't hunt, I don't give a shit. Like, don't
right, right? Probably don't know you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Hunters are cooler people, usually, I think. Yeah. But it, maybe it just seems that way because
we're in common. Because they're interested.
You get relatable with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I was at on the panel, so you meet all these guys, and, you know, some of these oh, guys sorry. Are from, they're from, like, what, a couple guys from Canada or BC.
Is there any guys from Mexico that are there?
There was none this time because they didn't have anything that was mostly it's bighorn sheep, mm-hmm. desert bighorns.
I figured muleys would have a big chunk of like,
yeah, I don't
from
know.
Mexico.
Yeah. There was none, nobody there from Mexico this time, but usually there is.
Mm-hmm.
And then like some of these guys, you recognize their name. Like, I'm like, oh, that guy measures a lot of elk. Like when you get like a Fair Chase magazine or.
You see repeated names.
You see right. those names like, oh, Fred oh, King. Fred before. King measures a lot of. He measures a lot of elk. He's from Montana.
Oh.
So he gets a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
A veteran, but he's been on there a long time. Mm-hmm. Guys like Stan Zerbel from Wisconsin. I mean, he's measured stuff all over and mm-hmm. stuff, and he measures a lot. But it's fun to be on that stuff with these people that you might not know, but by the end of it. I mean, you're all friends.
Yeah, for like sure, yeah. Friend. Oh, yeah, you're like that close, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
you're doing like focused work together. Like you're determining records, right? At this point, the top five of the year. I mean,
determining world records.
So, what type of pressure is it like? I mean, you started with muskox, but I mean, all 29 big game species in North America. Like the big leagues, got to be the whitetail, the muley, the elk. Like,
yeah, it was kind of cool because. Like, you get down there, and so, like, day one, so you get in the night before, and everybody just glad-handing, and everybody has a couple of beers, and we talk, and, you know, how's your trip?
Shoot the shit.
Stuff. Yeah, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, we went over, and it was, so it's based out of Springfield, Missouri. So everything is taking place in the Bass Pro Shop World Headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
So they bought a building next to it. It's Kmart building. So they use it as, like, a warehouse. So it was like a big room, and it was just like just block walls and like not fancy at all. Like,
yeah.
Bunch of lights up here and there, and we just measure. Just everything's just
world record ever in an old Kmart.
They're
it's weird.
There are heads and horns
everywhere.
It was so cool. Like, I'm like, I walk in, I'm like, oh, just lock the door.
You're like a kid in a candy store. Where you
leave me in here to die.
Just leave me here. I'll be
so honest. Did you touch every animal in there?
Well, you get. As a team, you get, you know, on some, so you don't get to measure everything, but, you know, some of the stuff I really wanted to measure, I didn't end up getting to measure a lot of it.
Yeah.
There was a big white tail from Pennsylvania, and I believe it's a new Pennsylvania state record, and I was going to be on that one, and then I got pulled off to be on something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you get in there day one, it's like, we're just going to knock out all the skulls, okay? So,
yeah.
All the bears, we do all those. And my friend Gil and I, we had measured like two bears, and they're like, well, we're going to do something else. And all of a sudden they're like, nope, give Bucky and Gil that non-typical whitetail. And I'm like, that's weird. I'm like, what do we do wrong? I thought we did something wrong.
Yeah.
And
you got kicked off the
skull. Like, what the hell? You put the back of the line. And all of a sudden I bring over this whitetail, and I'm like, oh, man. And he puts it down, and it's like, there are tines everywhere. Like, I'm like, this is going to be a while. And Gil's from New Mexico, Elko, Nevada. That sounds right. And he doesn't measure a lot of whitetails. And then, Justin comes over and goes, I just was going to give you the whitetail right away. That way I just get this out of the way. I'm like, what'd I do to you?
Right?
What'd I do to you? And, so it was 3 hours we took
to measure one.
Yeah. Just us.
How long were you down there total?
A week.
Damn. It's a lot of work.
Do you have like a certain, do you like whitetails the best, or do you have a certain animal that you like measuring the best?
No, I love them all.
You love them all?
I mean, some of them are hard to do. A muskox is pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. But I like measuring sheep because it's just one of those things I really want to chase.
Touch and
just, a moose was fun to do there because like you get teamed up with from these guys with like Canada. Well, they measure moose all the time.
Right.
It was so cool. It's like it's totally easy. They just wham, they drop a line and I'm like, it's that easy? Yep. And I always struggle with it a little bit because I don't get the touch a lot.
You don't get to do it all the time.
But yeah, I really hit it off with it. There's a guy from Canada there, Heath Drager. He could be from Wisconsin.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He did just fine.
Ain't too far off.
Oh, yeah, he's like 6 foot something. He's just a giant. Just a giant guy.
Just Norwegian as fuck. Whatever the hell
he's super fun. Super late. You know, you're just drinking water and coffee and whatever during the day. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody goes to eat somewhere and we all socialize together and talk about hunts and
yeah,
drink good beers.
That'd be fun.
Super fun.
Kind of an honorable thing in itself, but also like honorable, like in the camaraderie, like you're cutting it up with like measuring legends.
Yeah.
You're a measuring legend. You know that, right?
No, not
you're
really.
In the mix.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
So. Why the fuck would they invite you if you weren't?
I have no idea.
I bet you guys had some pretty good scoring stories back in the day. Like
always.
Some screwed up ones, like crazy people bringing stuff in.
Well, you bring stuff like that whitetail. Like that whitetail we got. That's
a good topic.
That was a good one. I mean, a lot of guys are like, so what do you do here? And I'm like, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
And you get to talk about it, you know, and it was good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up in the 260s.
Two
weeks. Non-typical.
It's incredible.
Louisiana.
So we want to cut through some pictures here that you have?
Yeah, sure.
And we'll try to be as audible with them for the podcast, depending on how this episode cranks. What I'm worried about is saying we're going to crank this out on video and it not translate to the photos type.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Eric, grab a couple beers.
Yeah.
So this first one, do you want to just cut through them in the order that they're in?
Yeah. And some of the scores, if I don't mention it, that's because the Boone and Crockett has to notify the trophy owners of what the final score is.
Yeah.
Now this episode's going to be well after, you know, close to the awards and that'll already be out, but my score that we had on our score sheet might not be the official score.
Just maybe avoid it. Maybe say right around.
Yeah. That's what I was
gonna some guys say. Watching. It's mine.
Yeah.
It's mine. And I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how. I'm not a video editing expert, and I don't want to promise something and then be like, what the fuck? It never came out. Yeah. So if it's out, you see it. If it's not, you know, I'm sorry.
Well, that's cool.
So what's up with this goat? That's a monster, first of all. But
yeah, Arizona, I believe.
Arizona. That's a spot for antelope, isn't it?
In the 90s. Well, it's too super tough to pull a tag.
Is it?
Almost impossible, yeah.
Are they all like that down there, just Mondos?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that
thing is huge.
That's pretty pretty substantial. I mean, he's like, 45 a side, something like that. I mean, that's pretty giant. 18 inches.
What's a Booner pronger?
80.
80, and that was what?
90-ish.
Holy smokes.
Somewhere I'll take one of those.
Giant.
That's at whitetail.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pretty
good. Not what I pictured when you said 260.
Well, he's got a small frame.
Yeah.
But you're from Iowa.
True.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Eric,
you might actually
see that. Does that do like 260 to you?
I don't even know what's going on there.
I get pretty good video of it. Actually, I got a couple of videos
of it. Look at that hat, though. What's up?
Yeah, I like how you rocked our stuff. That looks...
Wow.
Dude, that's a beginning of the week.
And I don't know why the moose stood out in the back.
I'm just like, lock the door.
Leave me in here to die.
I'm going to need a minute.
Look at all them animals there in just that one picture.
Yeah.
Caribou do not look... I measured some when I did my measuring class, and that's the last time I measured one.
So
caribou are so freaking cool.
They're pretty cool. And actually, like, I would love to have like a shoulder mount for sure. Because their hide is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so soft. I mean, it's just crazy how nice their hide is. We measured that, but I don't know what the score was off the top of my head.
Holy moose.
Gee willikers.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Like, it was so heavy, they picked it up.
And handed it to you?
And then I walked in behind it and held it, and then they backed up. I mean.
Two guys lift that up for you.
Yes.
That's like almost as tall as like your waist here.
Yeah. of course, I had bad legs. So I'm like, yeah, I can't back that up. They're like, oh, we'll help you.
There's a guy standing behind him. You just can't see him.
This is magic legs.
Isn't that something?
That's the same moose?
I believe it is, yeah. Yeah, that is.
Holy moly. Guacamole.
God dang, man.
That's the new number...
South Dakota Ram?
Nope, number 5.
Oh.
Bighorn sheep. That's actually off of Wild Horse Mountain, or Wild Horse Island, and that's in Montana. So it's a state refuge for Montana, and they grow like this. They have this genetically crazy herd of bighorn sheep. Like, they're all giants.
Oh, really?
I think there's 3 out of the top 5 or 6 that are off that island.
No kidding.
Wow. Where at?
And it's Wild Horse Island in Montana.
Really?
It's, and to get a sheep like that in your hand is like, it's so once massive. In a lifetime. It's like so massive. You can't even like just imagine just holding its head up. I mean, it's just so heavy.
It's insane.
That was, so that sheep, because it was picked up and it's collected.
Oh.
So that can be entered into the record book. So the Montana Game and Fish, they donated that to the Heads and Horns collection. And that sheep will forever be in the Heads and Horns collection, which will be in Springfield, Missouri forever.
No kidding.
Well, Springfield, cool. Missouri, that's where the Heads and Horns collection that was actually started by Roosevelt and Bergernell. That started in the Bronx Zoo.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And it's been moving around. It was in Cody, Wyoming when I saw it years ago. And now it's in Springfield, Missouri. But it's pretty cool to see it.
So you're saying they found that ram dead?
Dead, yeah. And then the other, like, 1 and 2 were also dead.
Okay. And they both came off that island.
I think all three in the top 5, I think, came off that island. Like, that's incredible.
That is insane.
Yeah. That's Roy Grace and I. He's a record director for Pope and Young.
I'm dead, rocking Pull Back and Let Go the whole time. Rocking the Boone and Crockett apron.
Huh? Just killing it. Just a regular Midwest guy.
Do them elves.
Just slicker and shit. Gee willikers.
Isn't that, like, it's incredible. Whoa. How...
It's like half elk, half moose.
Massive they are.
That one's a freak on
the... What subspecies of elk are those?
Well, the one on the left's from Pennsylvania.
Ugh. And that's considered wild?
Yes. Yes. That's wild elk.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Actually, I had...
Is that like a drop time, basically?
Yes. It's a non-typical. he's ginormous. Like, just to pick it up.
He's ginormous.
Is that the same elk?
That is not.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that thing.
Freak.
My...
Yeah. What a freak.
Getting into it.
Measuring that all serious.
That's your serious face one, right there.
That one tine on that elk. Or 1, 2,
the
three.
The non-typical one?
3 of the non-typicals are over 18 inches. The mass on it is just... It's incredible. Let me see here. 12 inches on the base.
So, are you kidding?
No.
On each base. It's a foot.
I mean,
that's a foot.
That's a foot.
It's giant. It's
a big foot.
Oh my gosh.
What a great animal, huh?
Measuring that giant white tail.
That's a good moose.
God dang.
So that's what you say by drawing the line right there?
Yeah, that's a Shiras. You would think that's a Rocky.
Big Canada moose or whatever. Yeah.
Nope, that's a Shiras.
Yeah.
It's giant.
I've seen some giant Shiras moose alive.
Yeah.
In a unit that I guess was like a 17-point unit.
Oh, yeah.
In Colorado.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason I know how big it was. One, I thought they were huge, but I saw 2 of them together, and I was with Jeremy from Buckstorm.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, dude, you'll never see a Shiras moose bigger than those. He goes, those are both Boone and Crockett.
Really?
Like, monsters.
I saw a big one in Wyoming one time.
Really?
Giant.
Yeah, it ran away.
I've never seen a movie.
Did we tell this story on the podcast?
I don't think we have yet.
This is worth the intermission from... we're interrupting you again, Bucky. We're fucking great at that.
It's okay.
Sorry, it's all my fault.
We were going through Jackson Hole after our bear camp, and like, there's something annoying about seeing like all these people like just like disregarding respect for animals by like just crowding them, and everyone's parked on the side of the road and
traffic rules at that point.
Do you know what I mean? Kind of, it's just kind of like, man, let them do their things. Like, take pictures, but kind of be respectful. What are you doing? Like, the whole time I drive through, I'm like, I hope you get stomped out by Mama Moose, you know? A little harsh. But also, like, it's hard to feel bad for people when they're pushing the boundaries. You see people getting fucked up by bison in Yellowstone.
Well, Yellowstone alone, they're always getting hurt because people are...
They disrespect the animal.
They have no common sense.
I think you're pretty neat, but I respect your distance. That's like, right. That's what you need to operate on. Operate on that. Think of that there. Guy. But anyway, all these people are getting out. I'm like, it ran away. I yelled out the window.
Yeah, there's like 12 cars lined up.
There's people like running up trying to get pictures. Yeah, there's like an Asian driving by. It ran away.
Like an Asian family taking pictures. Like, they ran away.
I mean, hey.
Let's see that. Like, go back to that. So the buckets there were holding the roof was leaking. So it's like, it's not fancy, but it's like, you know.
The old Kmart.
If you look at it, look at an animal like that, okay? And it was so cool because I'm holding it. I'm rolling it upside down. I'm tipping it outside, getting the main beam off it and stuff, and, you know, measuring this and that. You're actually in the shoes of the hunter just for a split second.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to walk up on an animal like that and pick it up, it's got to be just like, it's got to be just once in a lifetime.
I'd be nervous just moving that thing around.
It was so heavy. It's not like you're going to snap it.
True.
You know,
like, true.
You have to be super careful. I mean, there is that, you know.
Right.
Well, what's a hunter think when he has to ship out his animals like this? Like, it's got to be kind of nerve-wracking, right?
Yeah, I have a video, actually. It's in here, and all these crates. There are just crates everywhere of all these giant crates. And they're like, well, the full-mounted sheep and stuff, they come in a crate. They get invited. I'm not sure how that works. I don't know who pays for the shipping. But a lot of it's shipped into Cabela's or Bass Pro.
Right.
So they take the freight.
So they know what they're doing, yeah.
Yeah, they take the freight for it. That's a muskox.
The boss. Isn't that the boss, right?
Yeah, that's a boss, yeah. That's measured. You have to get it way down in there and then measure across and then get a circumference. And
so I do remember that from measuring school. And I know like on the mounts, they cram loose hair in that.
It's hard to get in there.
To patch it.
It's nice that it's not mounted so it doesn't have the hair in there so you can get down to the bottom of the boss.
It's insane.
That's a number 5 sheep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That head probably weighs like 100 pounds.
It's amazing. I want to say the base are like 16.
Hey, that's over a foot.
Like that big.
Did I tell the story how I got yelled at in measuring class? You know, see how you guys have your steel tapes?
Yeah.
Over the horns?
Yeah.
I didn't have my steel tape yet, and they were like, shit, we're measuring sheep, and I ran a cable over it and taped it, and I was like, well, until I get my tape, I at least like kind of want to see what it is out of curiosity, and I won't drop the guy's name, but he pissed me off pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after. He's like, no, stop the whole class.
Uh-oh.
And like called me out for running a cable on of it instead of a steel tape. And the whole time I'm like, man, you could have just came up and been like, hey, man, can you just wait till you get your steel tape?
Yeah.
But I was just curious. I wanted to run the steel cable to see how big it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like doing it because they had to like still get them for us or whatever.
Was he mad that you used the cable or was he mad because he jumped ahead and just
He was mad that I used the cable instead of the steel tape.
Mm.
And like the way he did it, I was just like, dude, you didn't, like, I wouldn't just be like, you didn't have to be a fucking asshole about that. Like, right. You could have just came up and been like, hey, let me grab your tape for you if you're that anxious to measure it.
Yeah.
I think he's dead now, but I'll tell you later.
Fell off a cliff.
I think he's a great guy. I think he just like
probably got excited.
Yeah, but I was excited.
Yeah, well then there's a lot of mean, but I mean there's a lot of stuff going on in the room when you have all those.
Yeah, big but stuff. I wanted to just see what it was sitting in front of me. Excited. I'm like, what's the difference? That cable ain't going to stretch,
right?
But anyway, that's the first thing I thought when I saw that.
That's a good sheep.
He might not be dead. Sorry if you are.
Isn't that awesome?
That he's dead? I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Dude, that is insane. How much does that head weigh? How much does that shoulder mount weigh on that sheep?
I didn't hang it, thank God. There's no way I was touching it.
No.
Uh-uh. Nope.
They probably just put that one sheet of drywall up just for that.
I don't know. I think we did.
It looks like one sheet.
They had video and stuff there. They were doing videos on it.
How big was that muskox there?
Almost 130.
What's a monster? Like, what's Boone and Crockett or Pope and Young?
That's it.
130.
Oh, that is?
That's a new world record.
No. What's the minimum?
I'll tell you. I think it's 105.
Oh, damn. So it just blew it out of the water.
Yeah. 105 or 103.
So do these hunters have a pretty good idea? Like, if you shoot a muskox, like, hey, potential new record muskox. You know what I mean? Do they know?
They should. I mean, the guide should be able to tell them. And like a muskox, a lot of those are shot up by Nunavut.
Nunavut.
Yeah. Like, they shoot almost all the muskox. I don't know. Everything I see.
Where the hell's that at?
It's up towards our Arctic Circle.
Like, really cold.
Yeah.
That's not any fun.
No.
But you can hunt them in different times of the year, but.
It's like a wig.
It's 105, yeah.
It does look like a wig.
It does. Just a toupee on a buffalo.
It's just a giant, though. I mean, I measured a couple, though.
So that's the new world record?
That's the new world record, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Some slammers. Big-ass bears.
Wow.
Like, what were them bears?
They're both grizzlies.
Hey, guys, we're interrupting. Doing the biz, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So we do up here. So we do up here in the biz.
Tis what it is.
The podcast is brought to you by Leupold Optics, and right now we're talking about the RX Full Draw 5. Mm. I have that baby. I used it in bear camp this spring. I do not have everything set up on it, as far as like the arrow trajectory marks and stuff like that. But here we go. Built for the bow hunter and the competitive archer. The most ballistically advanced archery rangefinder on the market. It uses your bow's velocity, peep height, arrow weight, and the angles of your shot. It calculates laser accurate ranges based on your specific gear. So in working class terms, you enter your information, you know whether or not you're going to hit that limb or not when you shoot your bow. So from the 3D range to hunting, it's a bow hunter designed specifically for guys like Doug.
They do the math for you.
So you don't have to.
It's basically taking the step of like the angle compensation takes it to another level. So you're just more aware of everything else. Kick-ass rangefinder. I've had a few Leupold rangefinders, and I've enjoyed every one of them.
Love them.
To be honest with you. The podcast is also brought to you by Trophy Line. Right now, they have one. If you don't have a Ropeman 1, you need to get on that for your safety needs. But like the saddle kits that you can get, if you're wanting to get into saddle hunting, they sell complete kits, everything you need, the Covert Light saddle kit. They even have fancier saddles, Covert Prime saddle kits. They're the shit. They're great people, and they're American-made platforms and sticks, so why would you not support them? What the fuck's wrong with you? Should I not do that on my plugs?
No, you're good.
No, it's great.
Also, the new Flex from Spy Point is coming any day. We're getting excited. Format button on the camera for your SD cards. This is the biggest deal for me. Over-the-air firmware updates. Your camera, once you put it out, never has to come back to your house.
Yeah, never.
Unless you're going to do something wild to it. Over-the-air firmware updates. No matter whether you like it or not, technology, your phone, other cell cams, whatever, is going to need a firmware update eventually. If you can fucking do it without leaving your house or do it from your phone with the Spy Point app, aren't you already winning? We're all busy. You don't got time to go grab your camera in that precious spot, pull it out, do a firmware update, go back into your spot and do that again. Over the air card formatting, huge deal.
Yep.
Dual SIM auto connectivity. It doesn't matter what cell service you got in the area. It's going to find what works for it.
It's going to find you.
That test button too, though. I mean, how many times you set up a cell camera and you walk in front of it 8 million times until it takes a picture?
And then you sit there and wait while it takes more pictures?
Yep. Until it finally says it to your phone.
Where's the easy button?
It's fixing all trail camera inconveniences.
It really is.
It's a big deal.
And no more using sticks either, people.
I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, I hear you. No sticks behind it. Listen to the podcast. And Thermoseat. Right now, I mean, we talk about the D-wedges, the tree stand replacement seats. They also have, like, insulated body mats for the mechanics. I got to get down on oily, nasty floors. We know how that is. We always call them airplane mats. That's what we call them at Deer.
Or throw it on your cot. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, stay warm.
Stay warm.
That's a move right there.
A little layer of insulation in between you.
That's a move. Yeah, insulated body mat. There you go. $22.99. Save yourself some money. WCTS at thermoseat.com.
Throw it on the back of your truck. Take a nap.
You have a warm-ass body and you save some money. What's up?
All right.
Hell yeah.
And Victory Sick. Arrows. I'm shooting the RIP TKOs. They have a ton of options for hunting if you can't get them. In a store near you, Black Ovis has an arrow builder. So you can have Victory Arrows built through Black Ovis and shipped to your house. That's amazing. What the hell else?
Don't get much easier than that.
That's right.
I feel like I'm mad at our ads this week. Like, I'm just, like, yelling at people to just do what we say. And last but not least, SlickTrick.net. A lot of new heads coming out. The SS3, the Assailant, the Raptor Trick, the Viper Trick. Some of those are familiar heads for us. We've talked about them in the past. They're all awesome. Use code WCB to get yourself into some good killer broadheads.
They're all kick-ass.
And back to the show. Oh, thanks for being here. Dang, grizzly skulls are nuts.
That one's got a hole in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If you bullet hole?
Pictures, yeah.
From the hunter killing it there?
Yeah.
Like he shot at the head on purpose or getting charged, or do you know the story?
I don't know. We don't get to hear that part of it.
That sucks.
I know.
So you're kind of like drawing conclusions while you're doing it?
Kind of. You know, I could have went up, you know, through the chest and exited out one side of the head. I mean, they're pretty... I want to say they're...
Look at that ram in the background. Woof.
Woof. That's right.
Woof.
Grizzly bears are man-eaters, aren't they?
They don't like people. They like eating them.
They don't like people.
That's why when you said you're going in high altitude, I'm like, there's a lot of bears up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bought my 15-round bear spray.
Yeah. I mean...
I'm willing to do the paperwork if it gets that close.
That's right. So that's actually kind of cool. Like that picture.
Are those locked?
No, they're just laying there on top of each other. So all those heads, those are all kids.
Are you kidding?
Those awesome. Are all kids entries. So they're not necessarily, you know, top five, top ten. Anyone that's under 16 that shot a trophy animal, if I'm measuring something for you and you're under 16 and I check that box, they'll invite you.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So anyone under 16 can go.
Yeah.
That's wow! Awesome.
Still,
they'll get your head out there that and moose everything.
Is huge.
But isn't that cool?
It's very cool.
So someone under 16 shot that moose.
Yes,
both of them.
Yeah,
there's two. There.
There's that PA elk. That thing was the talk of the town, huh?
Well, it was.
It's massive.
I think that might be a different one.
No, it's got the same.
No, that's the same one. That one's cool, actually. I came home. It's a elk out of. Tribal land in Arizona. It's tribal land. And measured it. It's pretty big. And I came home, and I was home for a couple of days, and I spent Tuesdays with my mom, and she needs help and stuff, health. And I'm like, yeah, I said, I measured this stuff, and I'm a laptop, and I'm showing her pictures. She's like, what is that thing? You know, she has no idea, you know. Just a regular old farm girl from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's a pretty big elk. It's from Arizona somewhere. And I'm like, we're talking about it. And then we went through. So she was crocheting or something. So she's doing that. And I'm sitting at the table, and I'm flipping through a Bow Hunter magazine or something. And I look, and I'm like, boy, that elk looks giant. And I page it again. I'm like, there it is again. I'm like, son of a bitch, is that an elk I measured? I get my laptop, and I look. I'm like, it's the same elk.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome because because of COVID, they couldn't hunt. They didn't want to bring anybody in to hunt. So it was somebody from the tribe. He ended up shooting that thing with his bow, I believe.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
It's a cool connection.
Well, and he's got tines on top of his eye guards. That's how I could tell.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say he was in his 430s.
Wow. 430?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the one.
Giant caribou. There's a musk. That's the hole you're talking about?
That big hole. Come
on. Wow.
Exited through his head.
He did. What a bummer.
That's Alaska.
Yeah, that does look like that's an exit for sure.
Yeah.
That thing's huge.
But, yeah. I mean, they're over 2 feet.
What ram was that, the all-white one?
Doll sheep.
That's pretty.
Yeah. Actually, that's the most affordable sheep if you would ever want.
Really? Them. They're the prettiest.
Yeah, they're
They're all white like that?
Yeah.
When you say affordable, what are we talking?
$40,000?
Dollars?
Yes.
Is that a yen.
Is that pesos we're talking about here?
Brazilian reais. Yeah.
Can you convert this for me, please?
You can hunt them. You can hunt two of them if you can trade them for like a John Deere tractor. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dick suck.
Isn't that crazy?
Shit fuck.
But they're pretty cool.
Can I sell a kidney for that much?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't even know if you can do that. I don't know if you get that much. Not yours.
Oh, I don't think so.
My kidneys are good. It's my liver that's all fucked up.
Yeah. So nobody wants your compromised kidneys, Eric.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. The big meese.
That one's actually pretty cool. Sell your kidney and go in this one. See that one? On his right side, his palm comes and turns in and makes a shelf. You can't see it here. I have a video of it if you keep going.
Giant.
That's that non-typical moose.
Oh, yeah.
From the magazine, ain't it? Die guard.
Yep, he's got them points.
God, caribou are so freaking cool.
Really cool.
I figured Jordan would like that one. A little pull back and let go action.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a video.
Oh, that was.
I believe it is. Does it play it?
And don't think it is.
That's just a 2x4.
Keep going.
Yep, that's a piece of wood.
That's just
more excited. You measure that?
Yeah. Full mount.
That's a pretty good one. You know, the thing with caribou is you measure from the top of the tines. You actually measure to the bottom of the palm. Like the bottom of the beam. You don't do that on any other animal.
God, look at how big their nose is.
And isn't a half inch a point for a caribou?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird to me.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, why is that?
I have no idea.
Who decided that? Call your people, Bucky.
Roosevelt and his buddy.
Is it me or is that just a weird mount? It's just like staying in there.
I think it's the angle.
That's cool.
It's the angle of the dangle.
It is cool.
Those are way up north, aren't they?
Yeah.
Giant elk. That's
a different elk.
Is that that Tennessee buck?
Yeah. I think it's Louisiana.
Oh.
That's that crazy one.
Yeah. That is Sitka blacktail.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yes, it's big.
That looks like a whitetail.
Yes.
Or some sort of muley. It looks like a whitetail muley hybrid.
He's got something going on his left side there, and it was pretty interesting to measure it. It ranks fairly high. And I don't know what place it is in Popinjong, but it's pretty high.
Because that little point's probably part of his base there, ain't it?
No, actually, I think it comes off a little bit, but he's all garbled up on his, like where he wanted to come off a G2 or G1. Like his base came off, it's kind of screwed up.
Pretty incredible either way. Take it.
For sure.
Yeah. This is pretty cool. That should be a video.
That does look like a wig.
Looks like a video.
He's just sitting there.
I might have to click on these videos separate.
Yeah.
Billy goat?
Yep.
What's up with the skull?
It's just dry.
Oh.
Billy goat.
Look how long his beams are, that elk.
Yeah, that's unreal, dude.
You need to keep going.
It's so big.
This has got to be pretty incredible, man, to like...
You were in heaven, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to see these animals and these giant sheep.
You just tell the way you're talking when you're to see a picture. Like, oh, this is.
I would love to kill a sheep, but man, it seems so out of touch.
Wait, this wasn't that long ago then, huh?
No, this is April.
Oh, shit. Just a couple months ago.
Yep.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Like, sheep seem out of touch to me.
Yeah.
See that guy there?
Yeah.
That's a veteran shout out.
Oh, yeah. We still got to do that.
Yep. He's it.
Was that your, like, partner for the week or whatever?
That was for one day, but I've known him a long time. I met him at the sheep show a couple times. He's actually a guy I look up to.
Yeah, we got to do that. Don't forget.
Yeah, we won't forget.
Slammers, man, everywhere.
That's a coos deer.
That's a coos deer?
Wow.
Typical coos whitetail deer. How does everybody say coos deer on there?
Cows.
Cows, really?
Yeah, well, that's 101.
Cows?
Yeah.
That's a deer, though.
I was in kindergarten. That's not how you spell cow.
Yeah, I know it.
Pretty. It's a guy's last name, right?
Yeah, I think it's blue, something like that. Yeah, that's where I derive from.
People are going to listen to this episode like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because they can't see these pictures.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not trying to rush through them, but I also want to be considerate. That freaking antelope.
Yeah, some of those are video of the crate.
Let me see if we can go back to a couple videos here.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to try and get these cranked. I just hope it lines up.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's fascinating, man.
We're going to share them with you guys. I mean, it's cool to see some of that stuff. And,
yeah, the videos are awesome. The videos aren't working on here for some reason.
That's pretty cool. Maybe it's how I put them on this SD card.
So now that you got invited, can you be invited again?
Yeah, I could be.
They don't have the same guys every year. They switch it up?
Yeah, they change out, I don't know, probably a couple percent of them.
Yeah.
Pope and Young will also do a – they also do a panel, you know, separately.
Is there guys that do both, Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young every year?
Yeah, a lot of guys.
It's got to be exhausting.
It's got to be – well, and financially. I mean, you're getting down there.
Taking a week off.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting paid at all for this.
No.
Mm-mm. You got to be compensated for your travel and stuff, right?
No, the travel's out of our pocket.
Really?
Really?
They took care of the rooms for the night, for the week.
Straight passion project, man.
Kind of.
It is.
I mean, it is, but I mean, I'm never going to be able to do that again, maybe. Which is
maybe.
Cool. Which, I mean, I was part of that.
You'll do
so it. Now the awards are coming up in a couple weeks in July, end of July.
And you can say you were part of that.
Well, they do give us a little like thing during the last night. They invite us all on stage and they thank us for our service.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, what other things are, and I don't know, maybe this is, maybe you don't know, but what other things are like these other measures doing to bring like awareness to the club or like doing, like to get the awareness of like, hey, this is what we're doing as measures. Check this out. This is cool.
Well,
exposure for it, I guess.
Everybody individually does all this stuff that I do. I mean, like when you have a trophy that comes into your house and you're doing that stuff out of your time and you're spreading that message of conservation, whatever it might be, you know, Bowentine Conservation or Boone and Crockett or Pope and Young, or it might be even your local club, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like one of the leaders from Tony Shunin from Boone and Crockett, it was, one night we went to a hospitality room for Boone and Crockett, and we're all sitting there and we're having whiskey and whatever, talking about hunting and laughing and joking. It was fun. Everybody's sitting on a bed and on a chair and we're just, you know, shooting the shit. And Tony said, he goes, "Hey, everybody, I want your attention." And it's like, oh shit, he's going to talk, everybody shut up, you know?
He's that guy.
He kind of that guy. You know? Yeah. It's like, he's the head of the office there at Boone and Crockett. And he goes, "I want to thank all you guys for your service that you do for Boone and Crockett and the message you spread for conservation and stuff like that. So thanks."
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was real quiet. And I'm like, "Oh, I got to shut up. I'm like, "Hey, Tony, actually, this is what we want to do. I mean, we get to tell the message to every single person that comes to our door. You know, that's the fun of it."
Yeah,
I mean that's why I get to hear everybody's hunting story,
big,
small, or indifferent. I mean, or even the ones that get away,
right?
You know, I mean, I get to hear that, and it's just because I do it. It's not because not because of money. You know?
Yeah. It's so awesome that you're so passionate about it.
Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, just you get all these people, you get to hear all these stories, and you know, it might be from all over the world. I mean, a guy called me, and I measured some stuff for him. He's a good guy. And he calls me and goes, "Hey, you know anything about them sheep? You ever hunt those things?" I'm like, "I've never hunted them, buddy." I said, "I haven't hunted them yet, but I said I'd love to." He goes, "Well, I know you're talking about the one night you're over measuring my musk oxen. You know what? I thought, to hell with it. I'm just going to go hunt them. So I got a tall sheep hunt." I'm like, "Well, good job." I said, "When's that going to be?" "Oh, it's going to be this fall.
Buy me one."
He goes, "But he knows a guy that has a client that just backed out down to Mexico and he offered a desert bighorn. You think I should do it?" I'm like, "Damn, Jerry, I don't know if you think you can do it, man. You should jump all over it if it's a good price." He goes, "You know what? The hell with it. I'm just going to do it. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later." I'm like, "Okay, bye."
Click.
He just dropped like 40.
That's it?
You know, 40, 50, whatever, 60, whatever it was. You know, and he's like, and so it was a couple weeks later. Well, it was quite a few weeks. Actually, it was the night before I got hurt, before a tree fell on me. And his son and soon-to-be wife were in my shop where I was measuring deer for them, and I entered them into Pope Young. And he goes, "Oh, hey, Jerry just shot a bighorn down in Mexico." I'm like, "No way." So I texted him about a week ago or so. I'm like, get that cheap jacket. And he's like, no, it's like 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
he's going to have you measured, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just so funny. It's
pretty cool.
You done one of those? No. I'm doing it.
You know about those sheep thing?
Them sheep things?
Just a regular guy, you know, he's like
he was a regular rabbit in his backyard, you know.
Yeah. But he worked his ass off. I mean, he's worked his ass off, built a big business, and
it's awesome.
Done well, and he's like, I'm going to go hunting.
Is it pretty standard practice for those guys to full mount those when they kill them?
Sheep?
Yeah.
It all depends. If you have the space for it, I mean, I think he's adding on to his house.
For
Tom Morano style?
Something like that. But he has a moose in there. He's got a couple of pretty big. He has a full-size muskox.
They're not that big. They're big, but they're not that big.
Not really, but they got to be standing on something.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just have them on the ground.
I mean, what's a full-size muskox weigh?
Oh, they're smaller than a bison.
They're not as big as you think, though. They're stout and long, kind of.
They're short.
Right. Remember at Peterson's?
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there? I thought you left PA.
Huh?
When we were out of PA, we went to Peterson's Bone.
Yeah. Yeah, I left already.
You were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Remember that one full mount bison they had in there? It was not that big.
Their size was small.
It wasn't. It was like in an office room.
Like a small pony.
Yeah, oh, it's no like kidding. A mini horse, kind of.
Yep.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I thought they were bigger than that.
It's like a long mini horse.
And their hair is super.
I've just seen them on videos and pictures and stuff. And if you took the only thing, other things staying around is more muskox, you know.
If you made a mini horse like 1.5 times. That's a muskox. Hmm. Terrible comparison, probably.
I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah. Like, if we wanted to put one right here in the studio on the wall, it'd be tight, but we can make it fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They're beautiful in their mouth.
See, those are a pain in the ass to mount.
They got to be just, they're said it takes them forever to comb them out.
Oh, it's got to.
It's all matted.
Yeah, beautiful matted hair.
Got dingleberries everywhere, I'm sure, with all that hair.
Man.
Oh, yeah, they're wild looking. They're pretty Arctic cool. cows, man.
Yeah.
What do they eat out there?
Ice.
Snow.
Did they get out hair straighteners and like
Eskimo tears?
Eskimo tears.
Eskimo tears. I don't know. It's probably offensive to somebody somewhere. Oops.
They don't have internet, don't worry.
Some Eskimo out there and they're a little pissed off.
Some guy listened to our podcast. This is bullshit. I've never cried up here.
Yeah, and I'm freezing.
It freeze.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. That'd be cool. Muskox would be a neat to do, but it's not like...
It's not affordable. High on my list because I don't like being that cold.
It's affordable. That's the only reason why it's on the radar.
But you can don't have to hunt them in the cold either. I mean, you can hunt them when it's not cold.
But like, you got to hunt them when it's cold, though, right? That's part of the gig.
I don't know. One of my buddies shot one. It wasn't ice.
It was all grain out?
Yeah.
Really?
So like 40s?
It wasn't too bad. But they're like on the tundra, you know, like... They're feeding on brush and berries. And
that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, that would be all right.
I wonder if the hair is different. Like if it's just...
I don't know. I bet it wouldn't be...
Yeah, the summer hair.
That's good. That's nice.
They get a haircut for the summer.
They all got mullets.
Muskox mullets.
Nice.
Sick.
Hey, sick, dude. Skin fades. I like it. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, but man, it's cool like you're that involved in that. Like you got that top honors as a measure, and then here you are, you're hitting your low of the year talking to a bunch of drunk idiots.
Low of the year.
I mean, it's
just kicking our ass with your knowledge.
But yeah. It's cool because you get to share that with people. They'll never know what a bighorn sheep is, like how big it really is.
Right.
Dude, I bet you a lot of our listeners didn't know there was a panel.
Yeah.
I only know about it because of Pope and Young, you know, being kind of I wouldn't even consider myself involved anymore, but
no, I didn't know there's so many different species of caribou until you just read them off.
Isn't that something?
I thought caribou were just caribou.
Yeah,
I do want to get a caribou.
I do too.
It's up there on my list as well.
Yeah, like to be able to get down there and see all that stuff it's really something else.
It's cool, man. It's a cool community to be a part of. Like, I do think. Whether or not, I know like a lot of your measuring buddies are probably going to listen to this podcast because you're on it, and they probably don't listen to it. The last one they probably listened to was the last time you were on, which is cool. Like,
I don't think so.
Welcome back. But
I'm drawing them.
The club is, I mean, I don't know, like probably could do a better job appealing to the younger crowd. Like, that's probably just like a harsh.
I mean, they're always trying to have maybe a youth initiative. I mean, They're trying to get people in any organization. Now you're not going to be able to find kids.
It's tough,
right?
I mean, come on. You can't do. I can't even get them to pay attention at the dinner table sometimes.
Yeah, can't even afford to pay attention. You know?
Yeah, what do you do with like phones and TikTok and Joe Biden and all this shit?
Everybody put your phone in the middle of the table.
That's the way to do it.
Right. I mean, really. No, but some of these animals that are taken, all right, so let's say maybe not the bighorn sheep, okay, because that's a little bit different. Okay, like one of those moose, okay? If that guy didn't enter it, he wouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would ever know. It's never right. marked
yeah.
anywhere. And that's what we can do is like, you know, we're then citizen, someday that guy we're citizen passed, scientists.
That guy passed away and all of a sudden it's in some tavern somewhere collecting dust.
Yep. Yeah, that's been a topic of conversation a lot in the past year. It's like, what happens to all your taxidermy? Like,
right?
If what's Tom Miranda doing? I mean, I'm sure I know he's got kids, but like, what if they don't give a fuck about what's any of this stuff when he passes away? I mean, you sell it.
He could live for a while yet, and his kids could have a collection already. Then you get.
Yeah, my buddy Jim Burns passed away, man. He had a bunch of animals, and I never met his wife in my life.
Right.
But talked to her when he passed. I said, hey, you know, I'd really love to have one of his bigger whitetails, or at least one of the whitetails I was around for
right.
in camp. And I don't ever know. I got to reach back out to her, but I don't ever know what happened. Like, what happens with guys like that and some of these big animals? Like, it's neat to have record of them when, unfortunately, everybody passes away. When you pass away, you're kind of in, like, hunting record history in a way.
Yeah. Well, it's something
documented.
Something your kids can go back and see Grandpa Guy or right. his buck in the books. And
your name will be in there.
It's stamped in
look
the forever.
All tattoos.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. And I talked to Austin about this the other day at the shoot. We're talking about the same subject. Like, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And I had, when people come into my shop and I'm measuring stuff for them, like, it might not be the biggest buck I've measured, or it might not be the smallest one either. But they're like, yeah, you know, I hope my kids like it. You know, I don't know what to do with it one day or something like that. Or, you know, they're like, they'll ask like advice. So I get to see a lot of these deer from when they're shot, they're green scored, they're measured, and then they're done. And the next place they're going is on the wall forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, before you hang it on the wall, even if you don't want to enter it in a book, write a story about it. Write down the whole thing, how your whole hunt happened. Write it on a piece of paper, type it on a computer, print it off. Take that and just capture that whole story and take that and put it on an envelope and staple it to the back of your deer.
That's a good fucking idea.
That's a because great idea.
And then you know what else?
Yep.
Once you're dead, put the coordinates on where you shot it.
Right. And
you can hunt my spot now.
Think about that, though.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
You can only open these envelopes when I die.
And like my trophies that I have in the house, I make sure that I have my trophies on the wall. And it's what I decided to take. And no matter how big it is, it's a trophy for me. Like my elk is like my first elk ever, you know. And I have a picture of that, you know, by the field photo the elk. Each one has a field photo of me by the animal. Mm. And then I have my certificates with ones that qualify.
And even if you just took your field photo and stapled it to the back with an envelope with the story.
Put it in there.
That's a good idea, Bucky.
Because that way it's always in there. And be like,
even if you get your deer gets donated to a Cracker Barrel.
Sure. At least you know where it's going to be.
Cracker Barrel.
I actually Everybody would be mad like, if I died and they got rid of my deer, if they just end up in a bar somewhere.
Right.
They're nowhere,
I mean,
right?
Here's the thing. You're dead.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's kind of sad to think about where it goes because you cared about it. No one's going to care about that deer like you cared about it. But if someone knows the story and some nostalgia.
Like a picture with it.
And that's where.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, actually, Dakota has probably one of the best. So, my tattooed friend Dakota, he's a barber in Columbus, Ohio.
Dude.
He collects taxidermy. Not a hunter. He's interested, but he's not a hunter.
Not a hunter at all.
Were you there? Remember the story about that white? He has a big buck mounted. Like, not a monster, but like 150s, probably high 150s.
It's a big buck.
And I'm like, dang, like, that's a pretty good buck for a dude who doesn't know big deer and like doesn't hunt and just has a head. And I want him to come on and tell the story. Maybe I will in detail. But he got the buck through a guy who, I'm drawing a blank on the details. This buck ran into some dude's house during the rut or something. Like maybe saw his reflection in the window.
Yeah, it's a wild
and
story.
And fucked up this old dude in the house. Like, had this dude bloody as hell. And this other guy heard all the commotion, thought somebody was in the house, like, basically murdering this guy. And he walked in and grabbed this buck and, like, wrestled it down and ended up killing it. Oh, and then the dude asked, like, the conservation officers if he could keep it and mount it. And the dude did. And then Dakota ended up acquiring it somehow through the grapevine. Wow. Like, this weird, very unique, like, freak accident of this buck just rutted out, run into this house, and in a panic, like, fucked up this old guy and had, like, blood all over its antlers.
Next time he's in town, he's got to come on and tell that story.
I don't even know we 100%. I don't think he would do it, but
he should join, like, our BS session. That'd be
I don't think he would do it. Nah. But anyway, he got it through this dude, and, like, I guess the guy is, like, kind of a wild cat who ended up getting it, but he, like, pretty much saved this old man from this buck that was just rutted out in, like, in a kind of, like,
he'd have to be a wildcat. He jumped on top of a freaking wild deer and wrestled the thing.
Yeah, it's like some inner city wild deer shit. Oh, so, man, maybe a third of it is true, you know? I don't know, but it's a great story.
Whatever. Ran it down with his car. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably just a roadkill. The dude mounted and made up that story about it. But
if it was in Wisconsin, I'd believe it.
I think Dakota I think Dakota has the news article from it. It was in the paper.
He's got something. Oh,
he has documentation from it that proves that he's not completely full of shit.
Epic.
Pretty cool.
I mean, so that's urban legend. So there's not that many that are actually going to be able to carry on like that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where we have a chance to, you know, measure and enter our stuff into trophy records and be able to capture that data of this county in this state was able to produce this deer in 2022.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. And in 23, it can't because CWD came through and wiped everything out. I mean, it can happen.
It could happen.
You know, so, I mean, it's data points that we are able to collect.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, I'm still thinking about that envelope thing. That's a great idea.
So I did that. Like, I told everybody, I'm like, yeah, I should do that. So I'm in my shop, and I'm telling everybody that. I'm like, you know what?
You haven't done it yet.
I haven't done the envelopes on the back of my deer on my shop. It's all my small deer get kicked out of my shop, you know?
Right.
I have like five deer in there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'll do that. So one day I'm like, this is stupid. I got to do that. So I'm like, so I'm working night shift or something. And it's like, all right, so I'm going to write that thing tonight.
So are you handwriting or typing it?
I was typing it. So I do all my stuff that I'm supposed to do. I do all my tasks I'm supposed to do at the beginning of the night. So at the end of the night, it's like
a government project.
Huh? Well, in case if somebody calls you, you have to like respond, you know?
Right.
So you have to kind of be on call. So you're like,
yeah,
waiting at the desk in case somebody needs you. So I'm like writing this thing. And as the first one went on, so it was like five nights in a row. So I had like five deer to do that for. And as I'm writing, I'm getting more and more excited. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That's right. And it brought me right back into that moment.
Wow. That's like, a good idea.
And so then once I did that, and I did it for all my deer in the house too. And then I saved them all in a file, like on my computer. Because I can go back and relive that moment. Of like,
yeah,
my broken
G2. If you
ever
forget a detail or something, you can go back and...
It's cool, like, to relive that excitement. Sure.
It's such a good idea, man. Like, that is... I think that's going to be a hit with our listeners. Like,
yeah.
I hope so. It makes me want to go back and do it, because when my kids... Like, deer I killed, almost all the bucks I've killed, except for a handful, were killed before my kids were even born.
Right.
They don't know. Right. If I don't tell them where I hunted and where I shot, they're going to be like, I wonder where Dad shot this. So they... ripped the envelope off the back one day and, he put coordinates on here. Mm-hmm. Maybe they won't give a shit about that, those details at the time, but if someone does, they can look it up.
Yeah.
And that would be like, Doug's going to have his biggest buck on the wall with an envelope. His kids are going to open it. She's going to say, nerds.
Yeah, no good stories for you.
Parts unknown.
Yeah. Find your own spot. Nerd. For coordinates, find your own spot.
It's a state of confusion.
Somebody's property. That's a great...
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, great add-in.
That's fun.
For that, man.
I mean, it's important. Carry that on.
Hey, let's do that veteran shout-out. I don't want to forget.
Yeah, we should. So, we had a picture up. I met my friend down in the Sheep Show a number of years ago, and his name's Gil Hernandez. So... looked up to him over the years and friendly guy. He does a ton of work for the VFW. He volunteers a lot of time. He does a lot for veterans of war since Vietnam. So He does more than anybody that I know actually to help other veterans. I mean, awesome. It's amazing. So Gil, he's in Vietnam, and he's got a, if you ever look him up, Gil Hernandez, Vietnam, if you search that, there's a couple of videos of him telling the story, but brief story is that he got caught in a firefight with his tank group, and he shot several times. They took him into a medevac, and they brought him into triage, and they were working on him, and they thought they lost him. So they took him out in the yard, and they lined him up with the rest of the corpses.
No kidding.
And this guy, it's actually the video, is an old biker, and this old biker was the guy that saw him. So, and he tells the story so well, but he's just like, just a brash old biker with a bandana. I mean, he's badass. Like,
yeah,
you know. And he goes, I saw that guy over there. I think I saw him breathe. And they're like, what? So he went over there and he's like, hey, man. And he like hits him. And he said, all of a sudden he just like gurgled and all the blood came out of all of his bullet holes. And he's like, this guy's not dead. So like they throw him on a cot and they drag him in. And they're like, we just sent that guy out. He's like, he's not dead. He's still alive. So they're working on him. This guy's in the, he's working in like the morgue or whatever. And a little while later, like, yeah, we thought we lost him. So he's definitely gone now. So they took him back out there and he's like kind of keeping an eye on him. And he's like, I think I saw his arm move. So he goes over there and he hit him like 3 times in the chest, like beat the hell out of him, he said. And all of a sudden he coughed and blood came out of his bullet holes again. So they pick him up and he brings him in. And there was like some words said between this guy that worked the morgue and the surgeons, whatever. And they worked on him and sounded like he was going to make it. And he was like the talk of the whole place, right? Like they picked him up without lights with the helicopter and stuff and they dragged him out of there, you know. And you have to watch a video to get all the facts.
Yeah. Right.
And and so anyways, they got him on a airplane that night. They're going to get him back out of Vietnam. And when he got into altitude, he died. And they worked on him again, and he came back.
God, wow.
Man. So he died 3 times with
pronounced dead 3 times.
Holy smokes.
Like, just badass. Just a badass guy. But you know what? Like, he does so much for Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young. And he's a fellow measurer of mine. And he's, I mean, I really look up to him.
Man.
I mean, I really do. Like, of all the veterans out there, I mean, he's one of the guys that like sticks out of my mind like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, he's a hell of a guy. He walks, he'll tell you the problems with his hips or his back or stuff like that and his legs and,
mm-hmm.
and his arms. When he shakes your hand, his hand's a little messed up from all the surgeries and stuff. And he had countless surgeries.
No kidding, man. Wow.
Just a badass. I mean, it's an incredible story, but
yeah,
Gil Hernandez, he's a great guy, and somebody like him is what HHA and all the stuff that they do should be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy like that, a hardcore Marine.
Thanks for your service, man.
Yeah, hey.
For
your service.
Wow.
Cheers to Gil.
That's
to Gil.
Incredible.
That's an insane story.
Yeah,
that's great. A heavy.
Wow. Great.
He looks like a happy guy too.
He's the nicest guy that you would ever just want to strike up a conversation with, and.
Very cool.
Just a hard old Marine, you know. Semper Fi, do or die.
That's badass. That's, yeah, it'd so be cool. Fun hanging out with him for a day.
Just hearing the stories.
Like, he's got a ton of them.
Just good old boy.
Very
and,
cool.
Anybody's super humble, like a humble yeah. guy where he's like, well, I was a lucky one. I made it home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's
that's all there is to it is probably in his mind, you know, yeah. I'm back.
Yep. Feels guilty and
wow, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
You hear some wild stories. We've had some heavy, a lot of veteran shout out. Most veteran shout outs are fairly lighthearted because people are doing it for a buddy. It's kind of just like the shout out, and some are heavy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, that's a heavy one.
Mm-hmm. He's a good man.
He looks like an awesome guy. Just, you know what I mean? Just like looking at the photo, it's like a dude you want to hang out with for a day. Hear some good stories.
It's like, when I came back, you know, I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know I was getting yelled at. And he goes, I just want to make sure that nobody's treated like that again.
Mm.
You know, I mean, holy balls.
Yeah. Right.
Shit.
But he's a bow hunter.
Yeah.
You know.
Sounds like a bad dude, man.
He's a good man. He's a good man.
That's awesome.
Have him call in.
Yeah. He's cool. Yeah, you would.
Very cool. But well, he must be a badass measure, too, to be.
He gets invited to a lot of panels. He's on a lot.
Really?
He's actually chaired the panel before.
Really?
You have a chairman for each panel, yeah. And it was cool, this last panel, like, one of the guys that I looked up to in all of measuring is Jack Renault. And Jack was a chairman of mine, and I just think the world of Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy is a Christian. I mean, he is just a good-hearted man.
Yeah.
And he'll always treat you with respect and thank you, and he's so kind, and what a great organization to be a part of, and fun to be with. And
so cool.
You meet friends that you're always connected with forever. Like,
yeah.
I was just texting Heath Drager the other day, like, how's farming going in Saskatchewan? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm the newest member of the Henry Kelsey. I brought in that record book before.
So. Yeah, it's pretty cool to look at.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I got to flip through. It's like, what's this big book binder you got right here?
This one's just my measuring stuff. These are all just blank score sheets and stuff. But
oh,
I have all the other binders out there. Like,
there's a giant one sitting here next to me. Here, I'll bring it up here.
Like, I have all those binders.
That's all blanks, just
stuff. These are all blanks for all the different organizations. And here's different counties I measured in Wisconsin.
Oh, do you fill them in?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm kind of a dork.
Here's you got to do that. That's cool, man.
These are like examples. Like, this is my typical white-tailed deer.
And you don't have that frame somewhere?
Nah, I just keep it. Boone and Crockett or Pope and Young, like, Pope and Young offers that in a plaque, and it's like $75.
The wood one.
And it's laminated in it. No, it's like laminated into the wood.
Oh.
And it's the cheapest thing out there in my opinion, because it can never fade.
I should do that for my dad's buck.
I love it. And I tell everybody,
for the guy, buck.
I'm like, when you get this thing in the mail, you really should do it. Like, that's my goat. Was 69.
I was wanting to get that because didn't Fred Bear design that artwork on the top of the Pope and Young certificate?
I don't know about that.
I believe
you're probably right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I thought that he did, but I was wanting to get that tattooed.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. That'd be pretty cool.
But I don't know how it'd look.
There's a lot of blue in there.
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot of
stuff. It might look like shit after like 10 years.
It'd have to be pretty big.
Yeah.
Back piece.
I'm not getting anything but traditional tattoos forever, though. I'm just obsessed with traditional tattoos.
Just flash art stuff.
I got to bring my bear in. After this podcast, I'm going to go get my bear. I think
that'd be good.
I don't know if he'll make it.
There's the plaque in it.
Yeah, I thought it was all wood.
There's a wood one.
Some that's a wood and some that's a score sheet. And then, like, I usually just get that white one. I think it looks classy.
That does look classy. I should do that for the Geyer buck.
I love that.
They sent me the original, like, Polaroids of my dad's buck and the score sheet and everything. Yeah.
After you reach out to me,
Yeah,
they're a good organization.
That article comes out in Peterson's.
It's crazy they just have that
any day. They have it in file.
There's like file cabinets everywhere.
There's got to be.
I mean, they're like double file caps stacked on top of each other.
What do they do with like the digital world now?
Well, like, a lot of them are getting scanned in now, like Pope and Young's going that way. They're scanning everything in. Jeez. And Boone and Crockett, now they went over to that. We talked about it on the last podcast, but
they got
to
just have drives full of them.
Yeah. There's tons of them, but the pictures and stuff. You have to go through each one of those.
I mean, individually.
Yeah. It's a lot
and
of work.
And scan everything.
There's some poor interns out there just
doing that shit for free.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. You want to get in this industry, man. That's one angle.
Like for Boone and Crockett. Involved. We can enter our stuff electronically now. So we do it through their website. So you enter your trophy data, and then you upload the photos. So it works pretty good. It's a little, like, for an older measure, they probably won't do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a learning curve there. And it's got to be hard for those guys in the office to be able to teach that from abroad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unless you're firsthand sitting next to somebody, like, in the Dells, I'm showing guys, I'm like, okay, here's what you do next. Here's what you do next. And, you know, so I'm helping some other guys. I'm trying to train them kind of how to do it while I have them in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm showing them how to do it. But it's got to be just daunting to go through all that stuff. I mean, it's thousands.
Oh, yeah. It's cool, man. It's a fun process. I feel a little guilty that I haven't done more entries, but also, like, been working on other shit.
Yeah, right. I was helping Pope and Young last couple of weeks. They had sent me a spreadsheet of all these entries that they're behind, and it's missing data. It's missing details of your bow site, you know, stuff like that. So then I called either the trophy owner or the trophy measurer and say, hey, here's what's missing. Your trophy entry is stuck right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we need this. And then I was trying to help get some of those through because they're behind. I'm off of work. So I was like, well, I can help a little bit because
yeah.
I'm not really on my feet too much. So.
Right.
I was going to do something. Keep your mind busy.
Well, mm-hmm. Help a little bit. Help the organization.
Yeah, for sure.
What do most people do that you've talked to, like with their certificates when they enter an animal and they get their certificate back, like the one we're looking at here?
Like
do they frame it next to the animal? Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have four entered. I should have more entered, but I don't. I have them lined up in my bathroom, which is, I have a bigger bathroom.
Yeah.
And I have them, the frames all together. I don't have them near the animal. And I'll tell you why. I don't want someone to see the net and then look at the deer and be like, what?
Oh.
So, but I like looking at them in a row. And I got that idea from, remember the old school Hoyt in the House DVDs?
No.
When you bought a new Hoyt, you got a Hoyt in the House DVD. And the Eichlers had a hallway, just a regular hallway. And they had those Pope and Young certificates lined in the hallway.
Really?
Just four to ceiling. Just the look of them all together was like, that's pretty damn cool, man. Like, so that's kind of where I got that idea. And I have my dad's, I need to get matching frames for him and put them all together.
And by the time you buy a frame, okay, it's $20.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say spend that. And then that way it never fades.
Right.
Sun doesn't bleach it, nothing like that. And that's why I kind of have justified it.
But. I don't know why, but I entered two of them and I have both the score sheet and that certificate in my safe.
Oh really? Hang them up.
And like my
kiss your dad.
Hang them up here. I don't know why they just were in. I had a manila envelope and I just put them in there and
hang them in the bathroom of the studio or something. Hang them in the bar. Hang them in here.
Put it with a deer.
Put it with a deer.
It's cool. It's cool to have with it. Know what I mean?
I'm not big on that.
No, you're not.
By the time you get the field photo, the trophy photo,
kind of get a lot of stuff.
It looks kind of tacky. A bunch of frames around it.
I do like the envelope idea, though. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Should where be. I'm big on...
in the envelope.
You don't know how to read.
The well, envelope then's cool.
Hopefully my kids do.
Because you staple it to the back. That's fucking amazing, actually.
Yeah. But, I hope a lot of guys do that. Because your trophy doesn't mean anything to someone else.
Mm-hmm. It's a great... I think that's going to be a very popular idea after this episode launches.
I hope so.
One thing I'm big on, and Christian Berg from Peterson's kind of... so I... He's a great guy. I love that guy. The first time I was ever in a magazine was for my bear with Clint, you know, and then I did that like frame. I went to Hobby Lobby, and they do like if you ever want anything framed, Hobby Lobby's the shit.
Oh, really?
But he's like, he sent me the digital version. He's like, yeah, here's the digital version so you can get it printed on like thick paper and do your thing. So it's not on magazine paper, but I printed it on magazine paper because I wanted it on magazine paper. And he's like, oh, man, aren't you, like, it could fade over time in that frame. And I'm like, well, maybe, but I think it's cooler to have it framed on the magazine paper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And if it's cool does fade, it just gives it that patina, too.
It's kind of cool.
It's cool to have it. It's all in the right place. I mean, all my heads are kind of on each side of the window and, you know, throughout the I'd like to get a cat. Ooh. Well, my wife won't listen to this. Yeah, I want to get a mountain lion.
We got a guy for you.
I know.
You'll kill a mountain lion.
That's what I want to do.
It's not that much.
If you want a regular cat, we got a bunch behind the studio here.
Not that cat. I'm just trying to get my
new Windsor Alley cat.
Yeah.
How bad do you want to kill a cat?
Thinking. Well, I want to do one early, but I can't do one probably this winter.
Look it for next year. Make your deposit.
It would suck getting hurt, you know, again. So.
Okay. Our buddy Trey would keep you from getting hurt.
Yeah, that would be
fun. Get you healed up first.
Yeah.
Trey wouldn't let him get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let him get his legs.
Yeah, let him get his legs.
He's had major surgery. Get the guy a break.
Climb up that mountain, Bucky. You want a cat or not, Bucky? Climb up the mountain.
Trey'd get you a cat.
Yeah. That's how you find people, I think, right? Through someone that you know.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, that's how
Trey would see that as a challenge.
Yeah.
Can we get Bucky a cat without one getting him hurt, but without him having to do a lot of walking with his magic legs?
With a bow.
With a bow. Get you in there.
With his magic legs.
There's just magic legs.
It's unlike anything else, man.
So
take me anywhere.
In my defense,
I was running.
Yeah, we got to talk about your
tree land. I mean, I cut a tree down, a different tree snapped off, came back and ripped my quads and my tendons off both legs in February. So.
God,
that was 4.5.
Scale 1 to 10. Ago.
Bucky, don't do that.
Well, it wasn't planned.
You're doing good though.
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm doing well. Yeah, I thought I was going to be a lot better by now, but. I'm not.
That's a long road to recovery, bro.
But I did shoot the. I shot in the shoot.
You did shoot the shoot, man.
I'll give you that.
But I shot terrible because, like, I can't like hold myself steady. I'm waving all over. Like,
yeah.
Kurt just tells him it's a long road to recovery. But go kill a mountain.
I think Kurt's trying to kill me.
You could do that in January, man.
I know. I think I'll be all right by that.
I told Bucky at the shoot, I was like, I'll do the running part. You got to chug your own beer, though.
Yeah. I got the beer part fine.
Yeah. I mean, the lion hunt be in January.
Yeah. I might be all right.
Your magic legs would be normal by then.
I might be.
Back to normal.
So how bad did that hurt?
Ooh. You know what? It didn't hurt all that much up front. I mean, I get.
Because your body was in shock.
Well, it was like a bad limper. I felt like a really bad limper.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was like a bad limper. And my whole muscle, you know, detached up in towards my top of my leg. And it didn't hurt, but I couldn't stand up. Like every time I try to stand up, like the muscles on my side of my leg just contract just like that. And it would just like go into a Charlie horse and be like, that hurt. And it was just, and so I called my wife and my phone in my pocket. Like I'm laying there and I look over and I got my hand on the chainsaw and the chainsaw is doing this. Like it's rattling still running. I'm like, I'm shutting that up. I'm like, I don't need that anymore.
Yeah. And let's not like, the wife hear that.
So I call my wife and I'm like, I'm in the woods and I got hurt. You got to come get me. She's like, all right, I'll be right there. So she hangs up the phone, calls my kid because all my kids are home because we all had COVID. Mm. I tested positive for COVID. So of course the farmer in me is thinking, well,
perfect.
If I go out and cut this, I'm going to sweat this thing out of me quicker so I can get back to work.
Yeah, whiskey or working it out.
Neither of those worked. So I tried both. And so my kid came out there and I felt bad for him because he's trying to get me up. And he doesn't know what to do. And I'm like reaching my bibs and I'm like, am I bleeding? And he's like, no, you're not bleeding. As I thought I, you know, took my chainsaw across my legs or something because I couldn't feel him and I couldn't stand up. So then, he's like, what do we do? And I had to drive the four-wheeler over. But I mean, I could get up my arms. I can like kind of stand up. But then as soon as I put pressure on my legs, I'd just go into a spasm and I was down. Mm. And he goes, what do I do? And I'm like, go get the dead deer sled and come back and get me. So we had some snow and he's like, all right. So he takes off like a bat out of hell and he goes up and gets a sled and he comes back and I'm laying on that rock out there and I'll never forget that rock because I'd ran into that rock like this off subject a little bit, but I ran into it like a whole bunch of times with my skid steer. And I'm like, I'm going to get that damn thing out. I finally got it out a couple of years ago and I set it there. And I was thinking about, you know, I beat that rock, you know, I'm laying on that rock and I'm thinking to myself and I'm like, God, please let me walk just so I can walk my daughter down the aisle. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to do one day. And I'm laying there. I'm like, oh, I just got to get out of here. You know, kid comes back. Jake comes back with my wife, Laura, and they got the dead deer sled. And
karma's like trying to get you back.
And so they had all these ruts from the skid steer. So they put the sled in the rut and they rolled me in there. And I'm like, I think I'm good. And they're like, okay, we'll prop your legs up. Does that hurt? I'm like, nope, doesn't hurt at all. It didn't hurt at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they hauled me out of there, bouncing around, pulled me in the shed. And you know, I didn't buy a new set of bibs, car bibs, for like 20 years. And I was damned if they were going to cut them off of me. You know, I just bought them.
So right, tight. 20 years ago.
I'm a tight ass. You know, yeah. No, I just bought them this winter.
Oh, I got
it. Brand new, and I didn't want them wrecked. So I'm like, go give me some shitty sweats. And so they gave me some other stuff, and I changed clothes laying on the floor. My wife and my kids helped me change clothes. And paramedics get there, and that sled's laying there and it's thawing out. And there's blood everywhere. They're like, "Where's he bleeding?" And I'm like, "I'm not bleeding." And they're like, "Well, there's blood everywhere." I'm like, "Oh, that's deer blood.
That's deer blood.
Oh, geez. It's all on the floor."
That's hilarious. But,
yeah, it didn't hurt at all. I never even turned black and blue.
No kidding.
Nope.
Never wow.
Black and blue. Only thing was from when they did nerve blocks on both legs because they did the surgeries at the same time. Usually they don't do the surgeries at the same time, but they did both knees at the same time. They did one surgery.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So
you were wheelchair ridden for the most part in Wisconsin when we saw you.
Yeah. I was in a walker before that.
You were standing up a little bit at Wisconsin, but you're just kind of standing there. You can stand up. But
Was that a rental?
Yeah, Kalahari let me use it.
May or may not have working class bow hunter stickers on it.
I did. We had that rocking, didn't we?
I was just doing wheelies in it the whole time.
Hey, let them know.
It was cool. I mean.
Well, we're glad there's a will, there's a way.
I mean.
Right. Yeah, you're
right. Still here.
We're going to do quit.
Right.
You did bring up a good point, though. If you do get injured, make sure you take your expensive clothes off.
I say you experience this.
Before they cut off all your clothes.
Yeah.
Right. You had like all brand new shit on.
I lost everything. All my hunting clothes.
And you broke your back?
Yeah. They cut everything.
How'd you do that?
Fell out of a deer stand.
Yeah, me too. Did that the year before.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Broke my pelvis too. That one hurt.
Oh, I just had really, really bad bruised. I fell 17 feet in January of the previous year.
God dang, boys.
That was rough.
You gotta quit doing that shit.
Well, it wouldn't be so bad if I wasn't 50 years old. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't do it anyway, no matter how old you are.
I know.
You got lucky.
Worst part was I had a harness on.
What?
I had a harness on, was laying on the ground.
What happened?
I just got on the tree stand.
Didn't click
in. Oh, you haven't.
I didn't even click in yet. I had my bow in my hand. So
what happened?
It was January 16th. It was my mom's birthday. And I dropped off my kid. I dropped off Jake so he can go and bow hunt one spot. And I drove down the road to go to another spot. And I was super close to the road, super close to the house. And I was just out doe hunting, you know, shoot some does.
Mm-hmm.
I like making sausage and brats. You know, that's what we do in Wisconsin. So I went over there and I climbed up in the tree and it was on sticks. And I stepped down into my stand and I was turning. And I still had the rope on the bow, and all of a sudden I heard punk, and I was like, "Oh shit, I'm going down." It was like a trap door; the platform just dropped, and I'm going down, and I'm like going down head first, and I'm like, "Oh shit, this is gonna happen," you know? And I'm like, "All I have to do is not land in my head," and it like before I hit the ground, I was like, "I'm just gonna like try to tuck." I mean, you think about it, you're breaking branches on the way down, and I'm thinking, like, I'm going to duck. Like, I'm an acrobat. That's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
You need a trapeze artist.
Then, I'm like, everything kind of stopped, and wham. And I landed, like, on my back right here.
You think that branches kind of slowed you down a little bit?
Well, I thought that. I thought that slowed me down, but well, at first, I'm like, I pulled it off. You know, I actually didn't land on my head, but it took this finger, it just tore all the skin off of this one and this one. You can still see the scar there a little bit. The paracord that was on my bow. So before I got to the ground, it must have tightened up. And I broke the paracord. That breaks it like
550 pounds.
It's something like, well, it's a lot. Like,
yeah, paracord 550 is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. And so it must have stopped me enough to keep my body up. And that's what it broke. So then I'm laying on the ground on top of my bow, you know, and I'm reaching on, like trying to find my glasses, and I found my cell phone. It was like a yard sale.
shit everywhere.
And I'm like reaching around. I'm like, and all I could see was like red, like that Solo Cup. That's all I could see. It was just red. Like, and I didn't know where I was, and I couldn't see anything. And I'm like,
knocked you out.
I hit my head pretty good. You know?
Yeah. But you're alive.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. All of a sudden I heard a car go by. I'm like, oh, I'm by the road. I'm like, all right. So then I could see something a little bit. I tried getting up, and I got up enough, like kind of hunched over. I'm like, shit, I forgot my bow. And I went back on my bow. I took my bow, went to the truck, threw it in there, and I called my kid. And I'm like, hey, I got to come get you. He goes, you get one already? I'm like, nope, fell out of the tree. Coming to get you. And he was 15. He wasn't old enough to drive yet. And I'm like, you're driving.
Yeah.
And he drove me home, and I'm like, I'll be all right, you know. But
Did you break your back?
No, I just had, I bruised it super, super bad. Like,
you got lucky, man.
Wow, you did get lucky.
I was black and blue from the top of my knee to the my armpit. I was black and blue my whole body.
Sore as shit.
Yeah. Mm.
So what happened? You laid around for a couple of weeks.
I was hurting, man. Like, it was, I was hurting for quite a while. But here's a good story for that. So this older stand, I won't say what the brand was, but inspector stands, I always take them down. I take my stands down every single year, the whole thing. Okay. This year I didn't get to because I had a tree land on me. Mm-hmm. But that older stand, I always took it down. I always hung it in the shed and I always put it back up. So the rubber that goes down the cable on the side that goes from the backbone down to the to the platform. So the water chased down that stainless or that cable.
The cable.
Obviously,
the steel cable. Stainless.
Yeah. And it would stop and it rusted through.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't see it because of the rubber.
Yep. Bam, like a trap door.
Yeah.
Well, those things are a trap for, I mean, if water does get down there for ice too, ice makes it expand.
Mm-hmm. How would you know?
But you wouldn't.
Hear about that one a lot. Ugh, that's scary.
Check it. So I hope if there's two people that hear this podcast that look at it and find it, that's great.
Yeah, we're winning.
Yeah. Yes.
I need to do a better job at that, taking stands down. And
I know, I leave mine all up.
You do? What happens is if I fill my second tag, I'm just kind of like, all right, it's family time. Mm. You know, I think we hunt so hard to get tagged out or whatever to the end of the season or chase whatever deer that when it's done, I'm like, all right, I just get to shut up and hang out with the fam. Mm. And that's where I should tag out and go, all right, I'm going to grab my stands and then I can hang out with the
fam. Yeah. One of my buddies, he throws an extra chain around it, around the tree even, if it's a hang on.
Mm.
And like, I'm like, I never do that. I should probably do that. And he puts a chain from the backbone down the platform. Another
one. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I always check like the straps and shit. I never checked like the cables.
No.
Yeah.
How would you?
How would you throw her on?
Dude, right. There was I'm not going to name names. He's a really good guy. He's a really nice guy, but doesn't have a ton of years of hunting experience. I've hung some stands for him in the past. I'm trying to help him out. And, he's like, hey, I pulled that one stand down at like the spot. Like, I'm just going to give it to you. That way you can, you know, do your thing with it. I like the way you hang them. And I looked at it, and there's one cable on it. I'm like, yo, where's the other cable? He goes, oh, I hunted out of it like the last year just on one cable. I figured it'd be fine.
Oh.
I'm like, bro, you are gambling.
Wow.
You're rolling the dice. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, no, there's no more hunting out of this stand until you get some replacement cables.
Right. And you can buy parts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most companies will sell parts.
After that happened, of course, you know, I had all my tree stands home, and I was buying all the parts and everything.
It's worth it. Get them. Get replacement parts.
That's totally worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine didn't really break, though.
Yeah, but you fell off a tree and broke your back.
Yeah. To do that.
Fall asleep or what?
He couldn't read.
I was putting it up, actually.
Oh. I did that.
He couldn't read.
It was 20 years ago I fell out of one. Well, yeah, it was 20 years before that. I was 18 years old, 30 years, and I fell out of a tree stand then, and I was putting one up. Didn't have any money, you know, 2x4s, hammer, nails, fractured my back in 3 places.
Ah, man. See, I got a lot of $40 stands that I was still hunting out of until the last couple of years, but now
Still got some up.
Yeah, I got a couple of them up still. I need to go pull them.
Don't do that. Don't get hurt like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not good.
It's not fun.
I'm at my deductible twice, 2 years.
Yeah, right, right. No kidding.
Not good.
Well, Bucky, we got to put you to work. I think you're going to measure some deer.
Yeah, let's do it.
We got to go get my bear skull and see what he actually is.
Yeah, that's fun. That'd be fun. I like coming down, visiting with you guys, came down for the shoot. And
Hopefully you had a good time.
That was a good time.
A damn good time, man. The shoot was a success.
Well, you run into like, So there's four or five of us, and all of a sudden there's 100 of us.
Yeah.
We all are thinking the same way or talking. One thing that would be cool is like name tags.
Oh, yeah. Because
like, I'm like, afterwards,
it's not a bad idea.
Oh, that was that guy.
We'll make it an option. We'll put it on the booth. Hello, my name is.
Yeah.
And you get one when you,
everybody's
when
gonna
you
be
register
Doug.
For the shoot.
Doug.
Everybody's gonna be Doug. That's a good idea, actually. When you register for the shoot, you get a name tag.
Yep. Because there's still people that I talked to for an hour that night. I don't remember their name. I'm terrible at names, as it is.
It's cool because it's like, you know, you actually like poor Rachel. I'm like, I hate to even say if you're Betty Boosh, you know. And yeah. And of course the other girl, it's I'm like, no disrespect, but are you queer for deer?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
Casey. Shout out to cool. Casey.
Pride She's awesome. Month. She's awesome.
Pride Month. Shout out to you, Casey. Yeah.
But like, you know those people by their their handles.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gay or in a $2 bill, aren't you, Casey? We love you.
She's awesome.
I don't know what sound a rainbow makes, otherwise I'd put that on you.
That's definitely it.
Yeah.
Probably cool.
A rainbow.
What's this button?
Yeah. Oh. That's CC Hump Files intro. Yeah, that's pretty gay. We should play that.
That's pretty gay.
Fuck Clint.
Happy Pride Month.
Sorry, so, Clint. That was a joke.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, to get down there and shoot that, I'll definitely be back next year for that. Me and Randy and I will be down for it.
It's becoming quite the, like, it's the shoot family is becoming a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So
I only donated one arrow to that iron buck.
Curly?
Only had one.
Man, Eli made the curly shoot, and I didn't realize some guys were throwing some money in on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you make it in, your name goes in a pot, and then we random draw, and then you can win the pot. And he drove from Georgia and won.
Yep.
So...
It was a fat stack of money, too.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He brings me Creekwater whiskey.
Oh, yeah?
All the time.
Is he? That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can't get it around here, I don't think. No. So he buys it and brings it up for the shoot. So get the year supply. Brings two bottles. That's enough because it's strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
The end.
Yeah.
Wolf.
So he's an awesome guy. Real good dude. Quiet guy, but, like, just fits in.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, we have a blast. We're proud of that. Probably that community we're kind of thrown together. So,
and what a nice course.
Oh, it's groomed up.
You lose a couple of arrows. I mean, you're out there. I mean,
yeah,
you know. But what a nice course. And it had rained the night before. It was a little muddy, and I was still doing fine. And
yeah,
I didn't even have crutches.
Well, next year, I looked at the date. It's June 10th, same weekend. Rain or shine, we're doing it. So if it's pouring rain, we're going for it. You know, there'll be a lot less people if it's pouring rain, but we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun all muddy. Yeah,
that's right.
That'd be fun.
So,
yep, that was fun.
At least it wasn't blazing hot this year.
Yeah.
It's actually very comfortable.
Yep.
Yeah, it was nice.
Buck, you got any shout outs you want to make or anything, man?
No, just, thanks to Boone and Crockett Club for letting me be part of that 31 panel measure and be participating in that. I mean, that was great.
It's
I'd love to be able to do it for other organizations. Like, to be honored like that for like Pope Young or somebody else would just be, it's just so much fun. And
yeah,
to be able to see that passion that I have, and you know, the greatest compliment you can ever have is if your kid wants to do something. And my son's gone through, he's met all the requirements for state of Wisconsin. At 16, he can be, you know, certified as official measure. So he has to take the test yet, and he's almost there, but
sure, he'll be just awesome. Fine.
I mean, it's pretty cool to be able to see it, and you know, hopefully he can spread the passion like I do.
Yeah,
with his friends or maybe his friends' kids one day. I mean,
for
maybe
sure
this can go on for another generation.
Our kids will be interviewing them someday.
Won't that be fun?
Yeah, just on the podcast. We're all old and decrepit.
Yeah,
depends, right? Sitting on depends.
Yeah, that's right. We're just shitting our pants over there. Watching
back
our kids
in my day.
Three hot meals a day.
You're doing a piss poor job. This.
You're not saying fuck enough.
Yeah, right.
Back in our day.
Yeah.
No,
we used to say gay.
Over the last...
Yeah. You can make fun of your gay friends.
Dad, stop. You can't say that anymore.
Yeah. We can't really do it anymore now, but we still do it.
Over the last year, I mean, appreciate life a little bit more, I'll tell you that.
I bet.
So, no kidding. Yeah.
I got another chance, and I don't know what...
Quit getting hurt.
I don't know what God's got in plan for me, but it must be something pretty big. I mean, stick through all that stuff.
No kidding.
I mean, it's pretty cool. So,
right.
So out of all that, I mean, appreciate my family and my wife. I mean... Spend a lot on them.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a handful. I mean, that's what she says.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of a handful. It's good. It's fun.
Yeah. You're living.
We have fun.
You're living.
We genuinely fun. Have fun together.
That's good, man. Well, Bucky, you're a ton of fun, man. I'm glad to have gotten to know you over the last, just over a year, really.
Yeah.
And feel like I've known you forever.
Cool.
And appreciate your friendship and all your squeaky cheese and great old fashions.
Yep. Yeah. We appreciate you.
It's awesome.
And you got good people around you, man.
Yeah.
So keep bringing them around.
Like-minded people.
That's right.
You're welcome back anytime.
Anytime. Thanks.
Yep. Just show
appreciate
up.
It. So
show up. Go ahead and don't get hurt. And then next podcast we'll have yep. something new to talk about because you'll be exactly. doing some more big stuff and sounds we'll just good. Go from there.
And watch my progress. I'll be on TikTok.
Yeah.
On the top.
I always like them.
TikTok. I'll be on that and Instagram and also Facebook.
Bucky.
Bucky Allenfeld. That's actually all three. Should be all three. Should be Bucky Allenfeld or I'm Bucky 26.
I'm Bucky. I like it.
It's my license plate in my truck. I'm Bucky.
Hey, someone tried to steal Doug's license plate.
Yeah, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't me. What did it say?
My license plate?
Yeah.
What's it say on it?
Yeah.
Oh, WCB Doug.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, those dirty bastards.
Hey. Someone tried to steal it.
It was me.
Wait, no, that's the wrong sound.
Oh, hold on. That's an arrow. Oh, damn. I gotta update those buttons. All right. Thanks, fun. Bucky. We love you.
Yeah, thanks, Bucky.
Love you guys, too.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow.